you'd like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
I like rape.
This is Isaac Hayes. Don and Mike, shut your mouth.
Happy New Year.
I just want to say hello to, Happy New Year. Let's try this again.
Let's try it again.
I'm on the air.
Yes. Hello. You're on the air.
Ah. Hi. How are you?
Okay.
Am I in the air?
Let me
turn down my radio.
Please.
I just want to say Happy New Year to Mike. And
okay. Elena's here. You want to say Happy New Year to Elena?
Buzz.
Yeah, well, Elena is court.
I'm sorry. I was under the mistaken impression that since you said I'm on the air that it was my turn to speak.
No, it is. It is your turn to speak. Go ahead.
Can I finish saying Happy New Year?
Yes, please.
Mike?
Yes.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Don, Buzz, Joe, John, Happy New Year. And I have a prediction that right now, everybody that listens to the Don and Mike Show is listening to this right now.
Who's Don?
Who's Don?
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, the guy with the shiniest ball sack on earth, Mike O'Mara, who invented V-neck pants and also has a shiny taint.
Did you just open up the line?
I know.
We just heard that one.
Yeah, but
I know.
It's good.
We just heard that one. Fortunately,
you know, you can call him shiny.
We have 1,000 of them. Let's hear another one. What do you say?
All right.
He's funny.
Yes.
Six. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, this is the night shift.
Oh, wait. Let me turn on my radio.
Yes, I hear myself in the background.
This is Larry.
Larry, how you doing, man?
Not too bad. About Battlestar Galactica, there's a question I have for you, because I just started watching it this past year. I understand that there are going to be, like, special appearances by, say, bigger-name celebrities, like, I believe Buzz Burbank is going to be in it this season.
I heard mention of certain things like that. I mean, you know, after they brought Lucy Lawless on, and they got, what's his name from the original Battlestar? Forgive me, because it's the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah, that's, what's his name? The Apollo Creed.
Yeah, for some reason, my mind wanted me to say,
I know who you mean.
Richard Crenna, but I know that wasn't it. But he is looking like Richard Crenna these days.
Yeah. Just imagine what a scrotum must look like.
And a computer game as well.
There's a computer game available. I think you have to use Don Geronimo's hairy sack, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. Anyway, thank you for calling in.
Toodle-oo-ass.
Wee hours of the morning, I think that one.
All right, hello, everybody.
Hello!
Hi there, what's up? Hey, you were in key.
Did you do that on purpose?
What up?
That's pretty... You didn't know you did that, did you?
What up?
Wow. Are you tired, baby? Are you cold, baby?
I need some heat. I've got food.
Okay, baby. Wow. What up?
What up?
No way.
I like rape. Oh,
no, you're not in key anymore.
No.
What up?
There you go. Hi there, everybody.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
You're back in tea again.
Hey, that's our name.
Don't wear them out.
Don and Mike Show, and it's a new episode, everybody. Phone number... 877-365-3636. First, let's start by saying hello to Albuquerque, New Mexico. As it turns out, that's a live feed.
Hi, Albuquerque.
We were informed yesterday that was some kind of a tape delay, but it's live. It's 1 o'clock in Albuquerque on 96.3, so there you go.
Yeah, well, we got a couple of calls. I guess we should have figured they were listening to us live yesterday.
I thought they were listening on the intro now. Live. Also, from the name of my book, Do It First and Ask Permission Later.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I'm sad to tell you that the horse video has been yanked.
Oh, dear.
So you'll pardon the pun.
Part of the video, actually. Horse video has been yanked. That sounded funny.
That's how slow it takes stuff to get back to CBS. The giant snake that is CBS.
There you go with another tie in there.
I'm trying, Monday. Goes in one end and comes out the other.
Like a horse.
spurts out everywhere. We've been talking about watching the video before our Super Bowl show. Then we watched it on our Super Bowl show, but we were too drunk to watch it.
Yes.
Then we started to watch it, listen to it yesterday, but we just ran out of time.
Right.
And then finally, the knowledge that we had a horse video worked its way to the Legal Eagles. So he worked its way through the snake.
Yes.
And then the Legal Eagles popped their head out of the tube.
Nice to see they're on it.
They said, hey.
They said, nay.
Anyway, they said, knock it off. So we said, okay.
Buzz Burbank with the first big laugh of the day.
We said, fine, but what about the blank dream tape?
Yes.
And they said,
hey, you know something?
What?
No, what? I had a dream last night.
Right, well, as long as it is beeped out.
Uh-huh.
What up?
It's
you know,
okay.
It's been so long since we've heard from them. I guess they were feeling their oats.
And let me see. We've also got the anti-pornography stuff, the tapes.
Good.
And a brand new one from the 1950s. And why material from the 50s is banned? And that horse video, well, no, I guess the horse video is more modern than the 50s, wasn't it?
Well, Don, the material from the 1950s was used in a classroom setting. And we're using it for entertainment purposes. Therein lies the difference.
We've got a good one for you today, though, from the 50s. Date with the family.
Oh, my. Good.
Date with the family.
That sounds good. Ancient.
All right, before I tell you about the cemetery across the street.
Thank you.
I'm stealing that from Mike. That's what Mike has nicknamed the giant grocery store across the street.
You can refer to it simply as Cemetery Giant.
And it's not that it's a big grocery store. That's the chain name, Giant.
Uh-huh.
Would somebody please try to find Topper Shut? I have a question about the weather here in the D.C. area.
Fair enough. A geographic question?
Well, it's a question about snow, and it's a question about why I see one thing on the Weather Channel, and then I watch all the weather people dance and dance and dance around it.
They're dancing already.
I will give you this in a nutshell.
Please.
Last night.
It's nothing.
Last night. Hold on a second. And you know why you say it's nothing?
And because I look out the window.
It's on its way here. I mean, there is something. There's a clipper.
An Alberta clipper.
On its way here. Here's the deal.
Last night, go to our south.
Last night, get done watching 24.
Mm-hmm.
So still on Channel 5 on the Fox station.
Right.
And they say, ooh, cold and snow. Cold and snow. So
was that guy Sue Palka on last night?
He was. He was great. All right, hold on. Hold on to Topper Shut for a second. So he says, hey, listen. Excuse me, I don't do a good impression like Mike. He says,
hey, everybody. How are you?
He says, there's a chance of a dusting of snow.
That's what most people are saying.
Well, now, this was last night at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
At 10:08, I turned on a weather channel.
Yeah.
And it says, stand by for your local on the 8th.
Oh, good.
They got no problems telling you exactly what's happening.
Right.
They said tonight, and they had forecast this last night.
Tonight.
They said tonight, 1 to 2 inches of snow.
Right.
Meanwhile, I turned back to the local station.
Yeah.
Now I'm on Channel 9 at 11 o'clock. And it's like, well, we might get a dusting of snow. And I'm still seeing on the Weather Channel, and they're not making a big deal about it.
No.
1 to 2 inches of snow.
That's right.
Today, I get up this morning. I turn on the weather this morning.
Right.
Again, Weather Channel. A fact. 1 to 2 inches of snow,
mm-hmm.
Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. I turn on that big gazelle on Channel 9.
Yeah.
That big boned girl.
The girl with the that wears the suit jackets that go halfway up her arm.
The girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
Right.
Right. And incidentally, celebrity she most resembles?
Please.
One of those big ostriches at the Cirque du Soleil.
Complete with the face paint.
They could have had a guy in a referee suit on her back, and I would have thought I was watching the Super Bowl again.
Well, for anybody that's old enough to remember, she resembles Carol from the old Bob Newhart show.
She did. She did the whole song and dance. They all did. They all said, a dusting, it's nothing to worry about.
I have heard on every forecast I've listened to, a dusting to 2 inches of snow.
Okay,
that's
Mike.
What I've read.
Here is my button. Do we have Topper?
Yeah, he's waiting.
Oh, good.
Oh, he's
Thank
waiting
you very much. Okay. No, he's not.
Oh dear.
Okay, can I change my comment? He was waiting.
Okay, well,
I'll get him back.
Okay, thank you. My question for Topper Shut from CBS WUSA9 would be exactly how much and how come last night at 10 o'clock the Weather Channel very calmly just puts in the forecast 2 inches of snow. No big deal. The TV stations are so afraid to make a fist that they say, ooh, they lead with it. They go, storm force.
I believe that is because south of the city, they might get more.
Yes. But, Mike, the forecast that I'm watching is Fairfax County.
That is... Right.
Where I live. That is west of the city.
That is west.
That is west of the city. Okay, here he is now from WUSA Channel 9. Brettometer, Topper Shot.
So generous of him to join us. Topper, thank you.
Good afternoon, guys.
Top, here's the question I have for you.
Okay.
As I was telling Mike and everybody else last night, and I'm sorry, I'm obsessed with the weather.
It's okay. So am I.
I'm watching all the local people.
Better than porn. Go ahead.
No, it's not.
Hey, okay, maybe you're right.
You can be obsessed with both.
Okay, maybe you're right.
So the local people are saying here in D.C., we got a chance of a Clipper sister coming in, and it's going to be just really nothing to worry about. I turn on the Weather Channel. This was last night at 10 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
They're saying 2 inches. No problem. 1 to 2 inches. There's no talk about...
So is your dilemma the fact that you're hearing 1 to 2 inches and a dusting on other places?
Yeah, the Weather Channel, which, and I don't mean any offense to Topper or to the Gazelle or anybody else, you know, the Weather Channel is the Weather Channel. How come the Weather Channel last night said 2 inches of snow, and it seems just now that all of the local weather people are saying, oh my gosh, maybe we might get 2 inches. Meanwhile, if you turn the Weather Channel on, it's still just...
Well, this gentleman we have on the show has always been very honest.
Don and Mike, yeah. I guess you didn't watch our 11 o'clock broadcast last night.
I
had a snowfall map of 1 to 2 inches downtown, 2 to 3 around Fredericksburg, and 4 to 6 in southern West Virginia.
Well, how come this... Okay, then hold on.
He loves this. He loves this when he gets us like this.
And Topper, how come this morning when I watched that tall chick...
Kim.
How come she didn't have 1 to 3 inches?
I think she had 1 to 2. I left her my map. I left her.
He's throwing her under the bus. You are the man.
I think
you
she
are
had
the
1 to 2, and Howard had the same map at noon.
See, but now again,
be consistent.
I've got to be honest. Bernstein is my favorite of the whole gang over there. Bernstein today at noon. I watched him.
What did he say?
He danced around it. Here's exactly what Bernstein said. It really depends where the storm comes.
I don't think Mr. Schutt could be any more clear.
Well, Bernstein is Schutt's number one guy. Right? Isn't that the pecking order over there at Channel 9? So Bernstein today at noon said, as you can see, this thing is moving towards the south, and I really think we're going to get the majority of the snow in our southern areas.
Well, can I ask a question?
Yes. Sure.
I'd like to know that line, that map you have. You say, 2 to 3 inches in the Fredericksburg area?
Yeah, that's about where I have
it. And then out in West Virginia, perhaps more?
Yeah, like Snowshoe will get hammered, actually. They may even get more than 6.
That's great news for the skiers?
It's great news, yeah.
I would wonder, now, these little snow lines, is there potential for them to do a little bit of moving, Drew?
Yeah. Clippers, if you're a snow lover, I said this, I think, at 6 last night, Clippers break your heart. I mean, they break my heart all the time. But
Clippers break your
but
heart.
But it's all we've got this winter. It's just been so sad that, I'm only on half my Prozac dose today. And they're so small. I mean, so if they move 10 miles, it doesn't sound like much of a change.
Oh,
but these things are so small, it does.
This is what Bernstein was laying on me today. This is what Bernstein was coming up with some theory saying, you know, in a normal situation, if you get like a tenth of an inch of precipitation, it can turn into an inch of snow. The air is so dry that if we get like a tenth of an inch of precipitation, we could get 3 inches of snow.
That's correct.
So how can you guys not call in for 3 inches of snow? And why would he even...
Because we're only going to get probably get less than a tenth of an inch liquid.
Which would be how many inches then?
If we got a tenth of an inch liquid, we could get... Maybe 2 inches because it's so dry.
Are we predicting the weather or are we making a margarita here?
Yeah, well, what's going on? And, you know, some areas will probably only get like 500, 600ths of an inch of liquid. So that's, you know, an inch and a half.
Okay, Topper, then.
So the liquid turns into the solid.
Right.
Just like the digestive tract.
Exactly. But what he was trying to say is, like, normally a tenth of an inch of liquid would give us an inch of snow.
10 to 1, okay.
10 to 1.
10 to 1 ratio.
10 to 1. But now it's so doggone cold that it could be 20 to 1, 25 to 1. So then the Clipper, you know, and talking.
This is where they start
conjuring.
I like
this, but somehow this is annoying you.
It's annoying because last night the Weather Channel said.
I'm excited because I think what he's telling me is that there's a chance.
We got a chance. I mean,
he's a dreamer,
it's gonna be
though.
Big. It can't blow up and be a big one, but, you know, it's got a chance. It was snowing pretty hard today in Minneapolis and Chicago. And
all right, Topper, without taking away anything from Channel 9.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll give you all props if you're correct.
Mm-hmm.
Right here in Rockville, Maryland, where our studios are.
Right off Rockville Pike.
How much do you think we'll get here?
Rockville, Maryland will get approximately 1.7 inches of fluffy snow.
Okay.
And thank you, Topper.
Thank you, Topper. We do appreciate
your house in beautiful Fairfax, 1.9, almost 2.
Okay,
I'll take that.
You take that, okay.
I'll take that.
How about we've got to take that. We've got to take our 2 inches and run. It's kind of winter's been.
How about the city of the Mecca, the entertainment Mecca, the entertainment capital of Northern Virginia, Manassas?
Manassas, probably 2.
Yeah.
How much?
Probably 2.
Two inches.
Yeah, probably 2.
Well, if that's the case, Topper,
mine's bigger.
If we are going to get 2 inches of snow, how come you're not getting the entire panic machine going? I mean, shouldn't you be on TV right now telling people that it's dangerous, it's cold, and that at the bus stop forecast that we might have school closings tomorrow?
Well, you know, you notice all the schools in West Virginia did have a delay on Monday morning.
And why do we run stuff in Washington, D.C. on the bottom of our screen for West Virginia?
Because they have no other place to watch.
It's their only TV.
It's their only connection to the real world.
And there are people, many people that commute from West Virginia.
That's true, Mike, actually. I mean, there are more people that commute from there than you think.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. They should not be included in the forecast.
Well,
you know, I don't care about the panhandle. That's one way you guys get off the hook all the time.
What are you, since we have Topper on the phone, what are you predicting, Don?
What am I? I'm sticking with a Weather Channel forecast of 1 to 2 inches.
Yeah, that's a pretty good
which I
bet.
Heard last night. That, right. Now, Topper,
so you're both agreeing, then.
To be fair, Topper's saying that he said the same thing. I'm going to have to see the videotape of him saying that last night.
I did. But, well, here's our rule. Our rule is I don't like to do a snowfall accumulation map until we get within, like, 24 hours. And we were almost within 24 hours of the event, so I went ahead and did a snowfall map at 11 last night.
You're the man, then, Topper. Okay.
You are the man, Topper.
But remember, they'll break your heart.
Okay.
Clippers will break your heart. I wrote it down.
Thank you, Topper.
All right, bye, guys.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Topper Short.
That's good.
Topper like Short.
Yeah. I don't know why that got me bad.
He's low-key. Yeah. You know, we got to catch him. You know, when there's a 6 to 12 incher, you know, he might not even come on at that because he goes so crazy.
Right. I'm pretty, you know, maybe I didn't watch that last night because when we were flipping around, I know, we were watching CSI Miami, and they had him on at 10:30, you know, where they do the break where they say, here's what's happened tonight, you know, so-and-so is it was a fire somewhere, and then this happened, and we've got the weather, and he was standing outside on the terrace with his Indiana Jones hat on and just smiling, and Janet said to me, oh, see, we're going to get snow. Look how happy he is.
Uh-huh.
And all he said was, well, it sure is cold. The coldest weather in 3 years. I'll have that coming up at 11.
All I know is the winter weather advisory, the snow advisory, which is what they're calling it right now, is supposed to start at 7 p.m.
Right.
Eastern time. Conclusion of this broadcast. Yeah. I am looking at Florida sun. I am looking at sunny, beautiful skies.
Oh, Mike, it's 17 degrees outside.
I understand, but I'm saying it's blue sky. Blue sky.
The advisory starts at 7, but they said give or take 3 hours either side of 9 p.m. is when it'll start. So that puts it anywhere between 7 and midnight.
Or 6 and midnight.
Yeah, even. Right.
I need some heat. I've got food.
And that's where they get you buzzed on the double speed, because someone like Mike hears a snow advisory at 7, and he doesn't know.
I expect I'll be driving home in flakes.
He doesn't know what you've already heard, that they've already given themselves a 3-hour wiggle room.
I had no idea that an advisory is 3 hours on either side.
No. The advisory goes from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., but if you read the fine print of the advisory, it said the snow will start 3 hours either side of 9 p.m. Yeah.
Hello.
They're even confusing with the numbers.
See?
It's an art, not a science.
And the Weather Channel, meanwhile, no offense to Topper, the Weather Channel just has a blue screen and that same monotone voice that says, tomorrow night, snow, 80%, 1 to 2 inches.
Right.
Low, 12.
Are you looking at, do you have your Weather Channel on cable or on satellite?
On cable.
So you got everything, don't you? You got over the air, you got cable, you got DirecTV, you got all the stuff.
You got to. If you just have DirecTV, you don't get your local.
See, I have DirecTV, so my Weather Channel is. And then you look at a map, and they go from one region to the next.
Right. You're missing out on the best part of the Weather Channel. Your local on the 8.
I'd love to have that. You know I'd be obsessed with it if I have it. Maybe I'll call Comcast.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, howdy.
Hey, good. Hey, Don, what's the over-under on when you're going to lose power at your house?
The over-under.
You know, knock on wood, it'll probably happen tonight. It hasn't happened for a long time.
You're not going to lose power. It's a light snowstorm, and there's not going to be wind.
Not one of those things, my friend.
Did you ever get a generator?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, my mother-in-law loves it. Big Frida really, really likes it.
How many times? Seriously, how many times could you have powered your entire cave? Every, that's why I bought it. I asked the guy. I was like doing estimates. I said,
here's
we've got a surround sound system. We've got a huge television set. We've got a couple of lights and a cigar fan.
It is more than powering my, and it's not just a fan, my filtration system that you've got in my in the cave, in my smoking room. You've got the TV. You've got the satellite thing. You've got the TiVo thing. You've got, I don't think all that works just off a gas generator, right?
But you could have at the time. You didn't have all those toys way back when. I bought this for you in 400 BC.
No, you got it like, it was like 10 years ago, right?
No longer than that, I think.
I think it was within 10.
Was it 10?
Yeah, 10 or maybe less.
Well, you know, that's where everybody takes advantage of me because of my alcohol, because you you know dates and times.
It was a thoughtful gift. Yeah, Mike was nice enough to get me one year for Christmas a generator, because I was always complaining power's going off in my house, and he thought that I could just like plug my TV into this thing and it would work. And, well, it doesn't just work like that. You don't just plug your TV. I mean, unless you're getting an old-fashioned over-the-air signal, you don't just plug a flat screen into a Honda generator and watch
speaking,
TV.
And speaking of gifts.
So I gave it to my mother-in-law.
Since we're on the subject, I can take it now. I can take it. I'm mentally prepared for this.
Lay it on me.
I'm laying on the jacket. The jacket I got you. The last time I told you about the jacket, you said, well, it's too warm, and I can't wear it because it's too cold. We got the frigid weather. I want to know the truth. Did I get you the same one? Tell me the truth, please. I can handle it. I can handle it. He's prepared him. Did I get you the same exact jacket twice?
2 years in a row.
Did I really?
Janet returned it and got me a gift certificate.
I see. I can handle that.
I don't want to hurt your feelings.
I thought I did, though. That's why the first thing. What's the first thing I said? I thought you got you. I wanted to make sure I didn't double up and get you the same one. So they didn't update it. They said it was new on the website.
Exactly.
Jacket. So they get you. Oh, well. You've got on an upgrade next Christmas.
Well,
I'll make sure I don't make that mistake again. Do you get a nice gift certificate, though?
Yeah.
From the same store.
So how much you paid for it?
Okay, good.
Sure.
Well, that's almost worth it.
Sure.
BackersProShop.com. I'm very sorry about that. That's like two screw-ups in a row.
Like, I completely forget
your birthday.
I would never have thought of it. Janet said to me, that's a nice jacket. I said, yeah, Mike always gets me a nice jacket. She said, there's one just like it in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Closet, the one you got me last year.
And it had tan arms, like, right?
It's got like a light green.
All leather.
Light green leather. Yeah, a beautiful jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, what are we going to do? And
I thought it was a new one with just a slight modification.
No. Anyway.
Jesus, I wish they'd do that.
Listen, don't sweat it. Thank you very much.
Won't.
As a matter of fact, talking about being negligent at Christmas, there is still a Ron Popeil, whatever that thing is that I got for you 6 months ago. That you know that thing you got me, that rotisserie thing? I got you one of those as well.
The new one?
I got you. Do you remember?
You mean the new Showtime rotisserie oven?
The one that you got me.
You got me that?
When I went home and used it, and I told you.
And you dug it. I know you liked it.
I brought it up, and you said, does it have the old-fashioned dial?
Right.
And I said, no. And you said, oh, that's because it's the new one.
Yeah.
We went out, we bought one for you. It's just sitting downstairs. Perhaps I'll bring it in tomorrow. It does no good to say that I've got a gift for you just
sitting downstairs. I forgot. I completely forgot that you had not presented me with anything for Christmas time. But it's a push because I got you the same jacket I got you last year.
It doesn't matter because I got a nice gift certificate.
That's okay. Now that makes me feel better.
You should make sure you bring that in by March 8th. That's my birthday.
And here's why I think that you're not getting any birthday gifts this year.
Why?
If you want to talk about who really is the cheapest bastard in this room,
oh,
let's talk about someone who for Christmas.
Two months of effort, though, you got to admit.
Yeah. That's right.
Planning very nice, really.
I got you wallet sizes.
Oh, yeah. This is.
We went to see. Well, listen, if you've been to our website any time in the last 8 months, you've seen the photo of us with Wayne Newton when we went out for a boys' night out. When we went to see Wayne Newton way back in September, I said to Robert, at one point, Robert taking some photos, I said, I would love to have the picture of myself and Wayne Newton, like, giving the Godfather a hug. And it was a real nice one of Mike and I and Wayne Newton.
And who made that dream come true?
Yeah, so for Christmas, that's what we received. Now, you were able to get them autographed.
They were personally autographed.
And I'll tell you something funny about that, is when he finally agreed to autograph them, I spoke to his drummer, and Wayne took them home and autographed them in his home. Now, doesn't that make it better?
Now, here's what's wrong with that.
All right.
There's nothing wrong with
that. No, hold on, Rob. He's absolutely right, and I'm looking forward to his explanation, because he's much better at this than I am.
Here's what's wrong with everything with that. First, the photos you took months ago,
right.
I'm sure that you already turned in, expensed the photos, because...
You're sure of this?
We talked about it on the air.
I've not expensed the photos.
Okay. Not yet.
You think I could?
So.
Like, so, you have to ask?
They were photos. Secondly, you're a star effer. You love calling and trying to get close to Wayne Newton.
Do you know seriously what would wipe out the whole thing? It would wipe out the whole thing if you got him a signed one and me a signed one and you didn't get yourself a signed one.
Would that do it? It's magical that you should bring that up. I have no signed photo.
You could. That's a good pull. That's good. Really, that's true?
And
did you ask for one?
Of course.
The other thing to remember... Oh, you're lying.
I told him I'm lying. Of course I have one. But I don't have
it. Now, hold on. Well, why did you don't lie like that?
Well, it was funny. You were eager to jump on board. I thought it was
No, don't just blatantly lie.
No. Subtly lie.
And the other thing is, with any piece of memorabilia, even though you talked to Wayne Newton's drummer,
right,
and even though Wayne Newton's drummer told you that Wayne Newton brought those photos home,
mm-hmm, which he did.
How many times have loyal listeners of our show sent in letters with really heart-tearing stuff, like, I was going through the toughest time of my life, I have, please have a picture, and we'll just sign our names, Rob. Sign our... I mean, at least we're not hypocrites about it. We tell you, if you get a signed picture from us, 80% chance...
Signed by Rob Spielwag.
It came from Rob.
Hired. You've probably signed two photos in the past.
Could be worse. Could be like Lydia and have a machine that does it.
That's true. The auto pen.
The auto pen.
But as long as we're talking about this gift...
Yes, I thought it was a magnificent gift. And you know what? Unlike a magazine that doesn't show up, it's something that you can hold in your hands for real and for true.
Now, that's the fight you have with Mike, not with me.
I've given up on that. That was a total problem. That was bad. That was negligent on my part.
Yeah. I know you lost sleep over it.
What, the magazine subscription?
Magazine. You eventually got one or two of them.
I have one.
One? That's good.
One magazine.
And you like it?
Why would you get... If you had followed up on that, why would I get one copy of a magazine when I was supposed to get a subscription? Why would I get one
copy?
Maybe
I only subscribe to one. You know how cheap I am.
Speedboat.
Speedboat. I love that magazine.
Good magazine. It's like the 20th tier boating magazine.
You were probably like me, guy, and I can say this now because it's a month after Christmas. When I got that present from Rob, as soon as I got out of the box and I saw the paper, I said to Janet, "Oh, it's that Wayne Newton picture." I didn't even open it up. Did not even open it
up. You knew what it was before you opened it.
I know the boy.
Because you were so excited. It's what you wanted. It's what you were envisioning in your head for months. You said, probably, it's the Wayne Newton picture. What you probably said is, it's the Wayne Newton picture.
And don't you think the Wayne Newton picture has gone down in value now that it's been on the website for so long?
For 8 months?
Don't you think that even has devalued our signed pictures of Wayne Newton?
Maybe, but Don didn't already have an autographed Wayne Newton picture from the previous year.
Okay, get out of here. God, out of here, please. Jesus. Jesus.
You're welcome.
My God.
Merry Christmas.
Right back at you. Right back at you.
And that's March 8th for my birthday.
I didn't hear anything. Did you hear anything,
Mike?
I
didn't hear anything, no. I heard an echo in here.
I didn't hear anything either.
I heard nothing whatsoever. That's what I heard.
Cricket. Lovely cricket.
The cricket.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hey, hi there, Don. Hey, Mike.
Can anyone feel the real genuine disappointment in the room right now?
No.
Not me.
Hello there, you're on the air.
Not
Don,
me.
Don
I just want to let you guys know I heard Tom Curine, a.k.a. Mr. Lundegaard from Fargo.
Burger Jeff.
That is his former disc jockey name. Tom Curine from Channel 4. I'm not kidding. When he worked at WVBF in Boston... Mm-hmm. His name was Burger Jeff.
Huh. Burger Jeff.
Okay, so what does Burger Jeff have to say?
He gave an estimate of 1 to 5 inches, depending on where you live.
Sure. All right. That's how they get you.
1 to 5.
Hey, Mike, you might want to look out your window again because it's getting really cloudy.
I've got the Rockville Pike forecast right now. Blue sky and sun.
That's nothing right? But
blue sky and sun.
Mike, maybe you would agree with me. That sky is as blue as Wayne Newton's eyes. In the photograph that Rob took
and later had printed out and allegedly had signed for us by Wayne Newton.
That sky is as blue as my mood when I open up that cheap-ass Christmas gift.
That sky is...
I had a blue Christmas.
That sky is as blue as a Best Buy gift card would have been. As blue as a Blockbuster gift card would have been. Yes.
It's pretty blue. I got Best Buy gift cards for everybody.
Mike, I'm not complaining.
I know.
Bet, you know what?
Did I get you a Best Buy gift card? No, I didn't.
No.
No.
Which do you think is more impersonal? If you had received a Best Buy gift card from Rob.
Right.
Or the Wayne Newton photo that you knew he had from 8 months ago that he called out to Las Vegas and got it signed.
Now
which,
it's 8 months?
Which was, well, hold on. September, October, November, December, January, excuse me, 6 months.
Oh,
but you know,
five.
I exaggerate.
September.
6 months.
Four.
September, October, November, December. Okay, you're right. Three or 4 months.
Are you asking me would I have been more pleased if I'd received a Best Buy gift card?
Yes.
I would have been much more pleased. Because I know it would have been his greatest sacrifice. Reaching into his wallet.
He would
wallet.
Have had to pay something for it.
Yes.
What
yes,
about a Best Buy gift certificate autographed by Wayne?
You want to rephrase that?
Not at all. That's the magic of Christmas, is what that is. Mm. Ho, ho, ho.
What were you trying to say?
A gift, I don't know. A Best Buy gift certificate or gift card autographed by Wayne Newton. And you know what? One of these days when I'm dead and gone, you'll cherish that picture.
That photograph.
When Wayne is dead, and there's sort of a foot race.
It's not that I don't appreciate the photograph.
I can tell that.
But that is...
No, I do too. And I know what you're going to say, Mike. You know what that is? That's like a regular... Because, after all, that entire... Not to totally pick your nit here.
No,
but,
my nit is ripe for picking.
But the entire Wayne Newton experience was my gift to you.
And this was my way of giving back.
No.
Well, maybe
no,
it was.
No, it would have been nice, like, just as a regular everyday. You know how you shower us with gifts every day? Just on a regular basis, if Mike and I had just come in, you said, hey, incidentally, guys, remember that Wayne Newton picture you asked me about? Here it is. I got it for you, and I got it signed for you.
And I think a long time ago, I offered you actually money for every one of those guests we would have. If we got
right.
an autographed photo, I would give you that. So even though...
So you saved that amount of money, because I didn't bill you. Put that on a gift card.
He's a trickster.
You can't argue with him.
He's a conjurer.
Hey, Buzz, what did he get you for Christmas?
That's not important.
What did he get you, Buzz?
It's not important.
Let's find out. What did Rob get you for Christmas?
Got an autographed picture of us with Wayne Newton.
Yeah, Buzz got one, too?
Yeah, he did.
You are effing me.
No.
You know what we're moving into the territory of? We're moving into Dennis Murphy territory here.
Oh, no. Oh, no. How dare you?
Oh, yes.
How dare you?
Seriously.
You know
with Buzz, I had no idea.
That, nor did I. That is the final nail in your coffin.
How dare you? I stand proud on those guys. Standing proud.
Jesus Christ.
Gonna fly now, feeling strong now.
Wow.
Great gift.
And you know what?
They were framed, and you got wallet-sized photos, too. I bet you don't have them in your wallet.
Wallet-sized photos. They weren't wallet-sized signed photos.
No, they weren't.
The fact that you got them signed for all of us,
mm-hmm.
including you,
yes.
devalues it as well.
All right, let me ask.
Well, you can devalue, you know, the Hope Diamond, and it's
let me ask this
priceless.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very important question.
All right, and I'll tell you the truth.
When? I doubt that, because you didn't before.
But it was a joke. It was simply a joke.
When did the autographed photos come in?
When did they arrive to me? December.
So you answered a question
with
a question
I was
which
clarifying.
Is the oldest strategy in the book.
They arrived to me on December 16th, but I began the process
I'd
a
like
month
to see
and a half
postmarks.
Out. Wouldn't you? Season. Would that be a good Christmas gift? Get that signed.
So how about that? Hey, I'll get rid of those three schmucks. Hey, Carrie. Print out three more of those pictures and give me a big, shiny Sharpie. Now with your left hand, write Don, Mike, and Buzz. Wayne, there you go. Put those in the middle of those fat effers.
I did not print them out myself.
What did yours say, Buzz?
I had best wishes, Wayne Newton. I don't remember the exact verbiage. But
it was to Buzz.
Hanging on my music wall.
There was a salutation to Buzz.
I had a great salutation that I actually remember.
What was yours?
But it actually now is making me more suspicious.
Why, what does yours say?
Because it sounds like what he would write.
Why, what did it say?
Thank you for all that you are and all that you do.
No, that's Wayne all over.
Wayne,
and I remember
Wayne,
when it arrived, I laughed out loud.
Okay, well, I did laugh, too, when I got it.
See?
You know what I forgot to include? Oh, this is my bet. I forgot to include the certificate of authenticity.
Yep. If only.
Wow.
Oh, well. It's included with every purchase.
Well, we could probably just call up Wayne.
I've been trying to get him on since before we went to the concert.
Mm-hmm.
His security is tight.
Okay. Well, thank God you were able to get all of us those gifts.
Did you get John and Joe one, too?
No, John and I don't exchange gifts. Neither right. did Joe and I.
Mm-hmm. It was just for me and you and Buzz and Rob.
Doesn't that make it more special? Or does it make it worse?
Those of us who were there.
Oh, this will be good. The calls will be on my side.
Yeah, there you go.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Here's the magic of making love to the audience every day.
Yeah, hello there.
Don and Mike, why don't you lay off of Rob? Not everybody is with you guys.
See, what do you think
hold
about
on a second.
What do you think of that, Rob? You thought the calls were going to be against you, and look at your first calls for you.
Sir, first, let me tell you, you're goddamn right. Everybody's not as rich as us. You're goddamn right. I'm sorry. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do better. Second, hey, shut up. We're not looking for anything from Rob astronomical money-wise. It's just you got to know this about this guy. I love him. He's a cheap bastard. What he did was on the cheap, and he kept it from each of us individually. You know, it's not like you ever...
I kept it from you?
Well, it's not like it came up in conversation like, hey... Did you like that photo that I got you? I got the photo for Mike as well. Yeah. I got the photo for Buzz as well. Everybody got a signed Wayne Newton photo from me.
I thought we'd all talk about it at the clubhouse.
At the clubhouse.
He can afford it. He's just a cheap bastard.
See, I told you he was on my side.
He certainly could have afforded a $25 Best Buy gift card.
You know, there was a moment early when we were talking about this where I think everyone could hear the feeling of emptiness that we all felt.
I don't hear it now. I'm calling for 2 to 4 inches of emptiness.
I feel all filled up again.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
What are you full of?
I'm full of joy now.
Thank you. And that really, that's what it's all about.
It is.
Well, shut
it's
up.
It's joy.
It is. And you give pleasure.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Tra-la-la, tra-la-la, little Debbie.
It's been a long time since we've gotten a call from that guy.
Not the original Little Debbie guy, though, right?
Wrong key.
I do remember this from our drunk show, the How You Doing guy called.
Yes, yeah. yes, fantastic.
The original How You Doing guy. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, I bought a Wayne Newton signed photo on eBay. I checked out Rob's confidence level, and I bid with confidence.
See, that's a lie. He's lying.
I would be curious to know. I don't think he sold anything.
Did it say Dear Don?
Yet on eBay. Is there a Wayne Newton photo on eBay? What's the value on those?
I got mine for $1.99.
How would you get out
$1.99.
Of
it? He's lying. And remember, yours are all, they all have salutations.
First one. Call Autograph Depot and you'll believe, too.
99 cents for an autographed photo.
Happy birthday, Rob.
And Merry Christmas to you guys. I'm so glad that you know, you can always put something else in the frame. Would you like a picture of me? I won't sign it.
Happy early birthday.
It is going to be a great one, isn't it? That's the best thing about having a March birthday is February is such a short month.
You're going
to
get a great picture.
As a matter of fact,
I think Don and I might team up on the picture.
You know, you once gave me an autographed picture for Christmas.
I've given everybody autographed
pictures right.
for Christmas.
No, but not of you. It was of Dean Martin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I still have it hanging downstairs. I love it.
Yeah, I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Paid money for it.
That's sort of shallow. I mean, you know, if you have to pay for something and not actually give from the heart and
no, I went into an actual memorabilia store where sell those.
You
things.
Don't like gifts that you have to pay for, do you?
I love them.
Do you?
I think a gift from the heart.
$1,000 for one of Gene Rayburn's microphones.
A gift from the heart is something.
Like your children are walking around in dirty diapers, but you've got a $1,000 microphone from eBay that was used on the Magic Game.
Straight from the heart. Give of yourself. That's what I said.
Give of yourself. Let's not hear about any financial problems this man has, because while it is in fact true that he may be very near bankruptcy
at all times, teetering.
If he was to at any point liquidate his incredible Simpsons comic book guy collection of junk,
yes.
He's sitting on a fortune.
He's a collector.
But who wants to do that?
You see upstairs in the office upstairs, he's a collector. Mm-hmm. He collects.
That's what I do.
He's the ultimate collector.
But only things that are good.
Japanese alarm clocks.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, those are mostly gifts.
Pieces of the Hindenburg.
How much do you think your microphone collection would fetch?
If I were to do it right now?
If you really do it the right way, how much do you think?
The 44 would probably go. That's the big
He's
going to
go
fashion.
Through every microphone. I'm talking about the whole collection.
2,500, 1,500 is 4,000, 1,000 is 5,000, 500 is probably about 6 grand.
$6,000.
And let's talk again about how tough Rob has it. How he couldn't get us a gift for Christmas.
Sitting there on $6,000 worth of microphones.
Would you like a microphone?
No.
No.
$6,000 of the microphones. And they're all historical in some way, right?
They're all classic.
And yeah. They actually all work, right?
Yes, they've all been fully restored.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I hosted Best Of with one of them this Christmas. Fun. Buzz walked in that day.
That's right, I remember.
He brings the microphones into you.
Gene Rayburn.
Well, sure, like Jay Leno likes to drive his cars. Mm-hmm. Why not play with your microphone? Remember that day of Best Of when my voice sounded great? Yeah, well, that was the day.
Yeah. Happy birthday. Merry Christmas.
That's right.
Just around the corner, Rob.
And Wayne Newton, I just want to say, thanks to all you do.
I know I speak for Don and Buzz when I say thank you.
Yeah,
for those pictures.
And I'll tell you, it came up this weekend. As a matter of fact, we went to see the movie Smoke and Aces,
mm-hmm.
and Wayne Newton has a cameo in that, where he's on stage and he brings out Jeremy Piven. And I leaned over to Janet and I said, "Oh, that's a nice reminder of that cheap gift that Rob got."
You'll always have that the rest of your life.
No, he keeps saying cheap. You know, when I mailed you those packages,
how much was the postage?
I sent them priority.
Priority mail.
I wanted to make sure you got them for the day.
Not book rate. Incredible
right.
Generosity.
Jesus Christ's birthday.
All right, you're the winner there. You are the winner there.
Oh, birthday, my God.
We got to hit a break. We've got the guy from 24, but he's not for a little while more. Oh, I know. The cemetery across the street.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
How'd you find it? It's the only chicken and waffle place in all of Holland. So a black man's got to be at a chicken and waffles place. That's racist.
But you are here.
Yeah, but figuring it out is racist.
That's a nice place.
Did you know Holland invented chicken and waffles?
Really?
Before that, you could only get chicken or waffles. But they were the first to put them together. Black people all over the world would be forever grateful to the Dutch for that.
You do know the Dutch started the slave trade.
Those motherfuckers!
What up? They will make you sacramental. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike, it's Larry from Jack of Ricardo, California.
Hi there, Larry.
We may be a little slow, but at least it's 62 and warm here, that's for sure.
Latest forecast outside our studios here at Rockville Pike. High cloud cover. The no longer blue sky. And,
I'm kind of getting like Burt Reynolds talking about Jerry Reed. Clouding up, Mike. It's clouding up, ain't it?
And it's clouding up fast. So, I mean, I should point that out. I mean, they're moving in. The clouds are moving in.
Here it comes.
I'm starting to get a little nervous.
Run for your lives.
All right, Larry, what's up?
I thought for a fantastic gift since you're so giving that, you know, Mike, maybe you can squeeze in some free parking for him over at O'Mara's.
Hey, I was. Did I detect?
Look around.
Did I detect just a little bit of sarcasm when you said I'm so giving? I think I've given some fine gifts in my day.
Yes.
I really have. I don't remember to give people gifts all the time, but sometimes when I give gifts, I hit home runs.
It's quality.
You do.
And sometimes I miss horribly.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oops. Like Slam Man.
I just reset that phone thing. My apologies. And would you let that Sandman thing go?
Slam
Man.
I can't.
Worst gift you ever got me.
Van Patten seemed to like it.
Yeah. that's a good barometer to use.
Well, the whole family was using it in their compound.
They kept that generator.
If the Van Patten's like the Slam Man. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike from California, Oakland, California. Our weather is nice and 50 degrees today.
Beautiful.
Yes. No chance of snow. No chance of rain.
No way.
No way.
No way.
50 degrees
no
in Oakland,
way.
California.
Hey, Oaktown.
What up?
Oaktown.
Representing in Oaktown.
Oaktown.
What up?
What up?
Oakland, California. Check it in.
All right. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
This is a cola nut.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
I just wanted to say, wee 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 wee.
I said Humpty.
Wee 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 wee.
What up?
Are you cold, baby?
I need some heat. I've got food.
I know. What about you, honey? I'm talking to all my black friends today.
Kiss my fat ass.
Okay.
Wow, Tyra was upset.
God damn.
The lady's upset.
Let's make this a little whiter.
I got the phone for cold.
Thank you, Paris.
Sure you do, Paris.
Okay, here's the latest on this cemetery across the street.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
There's a shopping center across the street from our radio station that has, among other things, a Barnes & Noble,
yeah,
an Old Navy, Starbucks, mm-hmm, and a giant grocery store. I made the tragic mistake today of once again trying to go to that goddamn Starbucks, and again I counted. First off, it's impossible to find a parking spot.
Absolutely impossible.
I find the spot. I do the windy, the swirling, the spiral staircase to get down to the stupid Starbucks. Mm-hmm. The line of people is outside.
There are no work rules here in Rockville. I should point that out also, because the traffic, would you agree? It doesn't matter morning, noon, or night. I mean, there is no, you know, 9 to 5 here. I mean, people are working at all hours of the day, so you'll see them out and about at times normally when we don't see people.
Sure. This Starbucks is about 2 o'clock this afternoon, so jam-packed, people are waiting outside.
Right. Wow.
Okay, that's how many people were in the Starbucks, and it's got plenty of room to sit down and everything. And to be honest, there was only one or two people that were outside because the door was opening up and people were letting the cold people in, but I decided this is ridiculous.
Waiting to get their coffee that was rated less the quality than McDonald's.
And once again, that Starbucks across the street, the problem is, and I counted, 8 employees,
yes,
you know, like 100 customers, 8 employees, and 2 guys standing by the juicer machine,
mm-hmm,
looking like they were in the movie Quest for Fire. Really. So I said, screw this. I've already raved out about Starbucks before. You know what I should do? I got a couple of seconds. I'm going to run into the grocery store. This is how romantic I am. I'm going to run into the grocery store. I'm going to pick up a Valentine for my girlfriend.
Oh, that's nice.
Because I'm going to think ahead. It's a week ahead, right?
Good for you.
Now, Mike has documented his problems.
I've had an altercation there. I've probably been there more than anybody else on the show, and I hate it. I hate it with a passion. It's the worst shopping experience of my life.
Here's what happened today, and I was not involved in this. I was simply a spectator. I never even got out of my car to go into the grocery store, and there was a show there for me that I wanted to share with you today.
Really? Good.
So I made my way from the Starbucks to the Giant, like 400 yards. It took me about 10 minutes. Is everybody just inching?
Yeah, people do not drive with any care or any awareness whatsoever.
Finally, I get over by the big, gigantic, mega grocery store, and before I can even start looking for a place to park, I notice that there is a car that is parked in 3 other cars. Now,
blocked it in,
right?
Oh.
Now, you know how the cars are parked vertically.
Yes.
And the rows go horizontally.
Exactly.
Right? Well, what someone in a very big rush did was,
oh, wow,
parked about four spaces from the end of the row, but just parked horizontally, blocking the 3 people.
And got out?
What a jerk. And got out.
And actually, were the flashers on?
No, just went in.
Went in and parked their car.
Just went in. So I made my way around the very first row of the parking lot, and as I made the turn, I saw it looked like AARP was having a meeting,
mm-hmm,
because there was about 80, it seemed to be 80 men and women who all looked like the Penguin from Batman, you know, waddling around. It was old people wearing parkas.
Yeah. Why are they parking over there, Batman?
Waddling around, and as I inched up closer and closer,
uh-huh,
I rolled down the window, and I heard people talking. I heard them saying, the car has been there for 20 minutes. Somebody is inside the store. Do you believe this? I've been waiting. Has anybody called a tow truck?
So I guess technically the car, if it was right towards the end of the line, had parked in handicapped people. Because they were...
No. Because I made a note of this.
Uh-huh.
There were 3 parking spots that are for handicapped.
Yeah.
And this guy started parking people in like 4 spots into the row, so he was not blocked.
So he didn't even go to the end. And what makes it egregious is he could have parked... even along the place where bag pickup is.
So here's what's
not gotten in trouble.
Here's what's so great about this. I'm sitting there going, oh, Christ, I'm screwed now, because I'm looking in front of me, and there was a mob of old people standing around this car.
A mob.
And as soon as I hit the backup, I noticed that there are, you know how that parking lot is, there are people coming up behind me.
Oh, it's insane.
And I'm already thinking, this is going to be the most ridiculous day of my life. I'm going to be late for work because I'm in a parking lot across the street from our building.
I think the engineers that the design man said, okay, we're going to put a Starbucks here, we'll put a Giant here, we'll put a Target over here, an Old Navy. Oh, parking.
Here's what made this really great. And this can only happen across the street.
Yeah.
And I was not involved in it in any way, but loved seeing it. So I'm just sitting there, and I was about to call someone to come across the street, across the highway,
to see what was going on, right? I wanted to document this. Like, this is the weirdest thing ever in this parking lot. All of a sudden, all of the people go running towards this guy's car, the car blocker car. As it turns out, the guy has come out of Giant.
Ah! I'm dying to know, young, old. I am dying to know.
Get him, boys.
He had to be 60 if he was, you know, I want to say maybe 59, but...
So way too young to have done that. Like being a doddering old fool.
He was anything...
And not like some young punk that said,
no.
I'll dash in and out and screw everybody else.
He had that old man, get out of my way vibe about him, because I saw all of these other people looking at him like, uh-oh, someone's coming towards the car. And I see the guy, now he has on...
I don't think this is an area where people are averse to expressing their opinion either.
He has on a leather jacket. And he's got on, like, one of those leather, goddamn Jackie Stewart driving caps, like a Billy Idol cap.
Right.
And it looks like he maybe went into, like, 10 items or less lane, because he seriously has one plastic bag.
One tiny bag.
That he's carrying. And I hear, as he gets to the car, I start hearing, and this guy goes ballistic.
All right.
Old man ballistic.
Really?
I am sitting, I don't know, 10 car lengths away, got my window down. I hear him screaming at people. I hear this old man screaming at people saying, no one knows how to park here. Is there a place to park? I don't see a place to park. Everywhere I look, there's nowhere to park. I wanted to buy my items. I got my items. If you don't like it, call the police!
So somebody, you know what? They've got such an issue over there. Yeah. It is so insane. I almost can't blame the guy.
Somebody says, we have called the police.
Ah.
And at that point, this guy says, good, let's wait for them.
Oh, no.
So I'm thinking, all right.
Poor guy, big mistake.
Yeah.
Let's wait for him.
Because he hasn't done anything really illegal.
Not yet. No.
Here is the problem. That... While they're waiting for the cops to show
up. We have called the police. And they would call the police.
Of course.
At the cemetery Giant, they would call the police.
Parking, yes.
While they were waiting, and I do not know if the cops ever showed up, because what happened was, as they were waiting, there was this moment where there was like 10 people that were verbally attacking this guy. And
right.
He was holding like a lion tamer. He had this crowd of 10, and he was using nothing but his voice. To keep them at bay. Like, this whole shopping center is crazy.
It is.
How can anybody expect to park here?
Right.
And then one of the guys says to him, hey, could you please move your car so I can get my car out of here? The guy says, no problem. Now, this is where it just gets totally nuts. The guy in the leather hat gets into his car where he has blocked these three cars. He moves his car far enough to let the guy get out of the parking spot.
One guy.
Then he backs his car into the parking spot.
Wow. So he is waiting for the police.
Oh, yes. And keep in mind, because he's old and because there's...
Takes him a little while to do that.
There's zero turn room.
There's no room for anything, and the spaces are about half size.
The guy's doing this thing where he's going back half an inch, he's moving up an inch.
Is it a large vehicle?
It's a big one.
Oh, they most of them are. Yeah.
It's
more Cadillacs per square inch over there than anywhere else.
It's a big one, and as he's trying to back in, now by this point, people behind me are doing this because it's
right.
Like, what the frick is going on? And it's the old guy trying to back into the spot. And as he gets into the spot,
right,
and I am finally able to pass and figure I'm just going to leave this, he gets out of his car and he shuts the door. And I hear him go up to one of the people and go, where's the police? Where are the police?
Oh, let it go.
And that's how it ended.
Wow. And you left before. You couldn't hang around and see the full show if the police got there or not.
I you've talked about how crazy that place
is. It's beyond anything I can even describe. I swear to God, it is... It is a combination of too many people and too little space and just what the F people are doing out there at 2:00.
I'm really
jamming that parking lot. I mean, it's supposed to. Don't you think grocery stores are normally like, say, the people at 10:00 in the morning
and then maybe after work at like 5:30. Right. What I couldn't figure with this old guy was, first off, he parks and he screws everybody out of their spots. Then they accost him. He fights back. Mm-hmm. He lets the one guy out.
Right.
And then at that point, when he just should have gotten in this car and left, because all these old people were screaming, they called the cops. He not only parks and waits for the cops because he wants to fight about this.
Right,
thing,
sure, right.
He's got to back that big-ass Buick boat in. And when I finally made it by him,
right,
it was one of those deals where I incurred his wrath. This was the last little bit as I was trying desperately to get out of the parking lot.
Right.
He was still trying to back into the spot, and I had just enough room to just get by.
Squeeze by him.
And as I was just getting by, he looked up and laid on the horn.
Right.
And all I couldn't even hear it. It was just, I just see a face from behind the window screaming at me something about, why are you driving here? I'm trying to back up here.
The urban sprawl in Rockville, on Rockville Pike, is urban sprawl that has been around since, I guess, for 30 years.
Yeah,
and 30 or 40 or 50 years even. I'm not sure, but I mean, the urban sprawl here, you know what they need? They need something that they're incapable of getting around here. On the pike, they need another grocery store, and there is no room to build one. It can't happen unless you tear something else down.
Right.
And until that, I'd love to do a survey as to the closest grocery store to that one. I think it's amazing. I think it's really amazing.
I thought I might have seen some senior-on-senior violence today.
That's right, right. It's incredible.
This old guy, more power to him. Jesus Christ out there. Okay.
Well, I'm glad somebody else is bitching about it.
We'll take one call that we got a break for the 24 guy. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how you doing, Don and Mike? I got bad news for all of you. They bust in Jews from the senior home about 2 blocks away there.
Jesus God, we got a Klansman on the phone here.
They bust in Jews.
You sound like Jack Nicholson in As Good As It Gets.
There's
Jews at my supermarket. Jesus, pal. My God.
That was the problem, of course. Rob, why didn't you tell me they bust in Jews?
I was not aware.
Surprised you weren't on that one, Rob. You know, if they bust people in, it wouldn't be as much of a problem.
True.
Because the problem is everybody has an automobile.
Actually,
over there.
That was the case. Robbie would be busing them out.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's
yeah. Exactly.
Rob would not bust people in. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike? This is Mike. I was at your show the other day with the bird and everything. I was a mailman out there. But that shopping center, if I'm not mistaken, I know it says Rockville Pike, but I'm pretty sure it says a street name on there as well. And if the cops could give you a ticket if you're double parked and doing illegal stuff.
Well, that's why I was so curious if the guy was going to stay and fight
it out
with him.
Probably would get a ticket, I would think.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
He was wrong 1,000 different ways,
sure,
just being a dick and parking these people in.
It's just,
oh, yeah.
I feel for everybody over there.
Well, Mike?
Also, there's a lot of Jewish community centers that are around behind you guys.
We heard that they bust in the Jews. That's what we just heard.
Yeah, we heard from the other Klansmen that called in. You'll see him at the meeting.
Bye-bye.
Especially if there's...
You know, as much as Rob might be pained to hear this, I do not believe it is a religious issue.
No.
I believe it's a population issue.
Always a religious issue.
Thank you, Rob.
But
it's a major factor.
Law! Oh, they're busing in Jews today.
Oh, my God.
That's why it was so crowded at
Unbelievable.
Starbucks. That's Tuesday. They're busing in all the Jews today. Tuesday. All right, when we come back, we'll pick up the debate on 24. Everybody watched 24 last night?
Indeed.
Watch 24?
Indeed, as James Brown would say.
I think I've made my mind up one way or the other on the show, but we should definitely talk to the actor who plays Bill Buchanan face.
A lot of FaceTime for Bill Buchanan
right,
last night.
His name is... Oh, right, we talked about him yesterday. Jimmy Morris.
Yes, light my fire.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Mike Show.
Morris, it's Bill Buchanan. We're on the line with Jack Bauer. Where are you?
I'm on my way to the hospital.
You need to come back to CTU immediately.
I can't do that.
Morris, this is Jack. Listen to me. There is nothing wrong with your brother. It's a setup. The engineer McCarthy's looking for you. It's you.
Me?
It was your photo McCarthy was sending to Fayette.
Morris, you need to turn the car around now.
Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I'm Federal Agent Jack Bauer.
Enthusiastic and reverent, Don and Mike.
Right. You're goddamn deep.
Thank you. Well, on the phone now. Here we go from 24.
James Morrison, who plays the role of Bill Buchanan. Hey, hello. Can we call you Jim or James? What do you like?
Yeah, whatever you want to call me. Who's this?
This is Don and Mike.
Hey, Don, how you doing, Mike?
How are you, James? Thanks for coming on the show, and we're delighted to have you.
Thanks very much. I'm happy to be with you.
Well, we've been slurping 24 ever since it first came on.
Absolutely.
And now that you're a part of it, before we talk about your role on the show and what you think of this season and everything else, may I ask you about when you were working in a circus and you had a problem with Mexican dwarfs?
Yeah, you can ask me about that. I can probably tell you more about that than I can tell you about the 24.
Let's talk about when you worked in the circus.
You know, I will say when you
dwarfs.
See you know the role of Bill Buchanan, James Morrison on TV, I just don't picture you. A, in a circus, and B, being chased by Mexican dwarves.
I know. It was a horrifying experience. I actually joined the circus as a...
You just don't hear, you don't hear that, James. You don't hear people say that.
I think Mickey Rooney and I, it's the only thing we have in common, actually. I joined the circus because, I don't know, I dreamt of Cirque du Soleil, you know, that kind of magical mystery, mysterious place, and it doesn't exist, by the way.
Oh, my gosh, especially in Mexico. I mean,
this was actually, we toured the South, and all of the performers except me were Mexican. And they were the trapeze artists and the clowns and so it was a pretty wild experience. It was a mud show, they call them.
A mud show?
Yeah, the big tent. Tent and the 50 elephants or whatever, and I ended up hurting myself pretty badly. I took a fall on the ring curb so I spent the last, I don't know, month and a half in the circus scaring the kids more than anything.
What was your role in the circus?
I was a clown.
You were a clown.
I was a clown.
Clown.
And a wire walker.
So how do you go, for goodness sakes, how do you go from being a clown and a wire walker to being on 24? And I know that your resume, which I sent along, has a lot of stuff like that you're involved in the production of films and Sundance and a bunch of very nice stuff that looks great on a resume, but to cut right through it, how do you go from midgets in a circus to being on 24?
I think it's a logical progression. I don't know. I don't know why you're so surprised.
Are you at all surprised by the notoriety that you have to be getting from people, even though you've only been on 24, you know, for a relatively short amount of time? People got to come up to you all the time, right, and go, hey, you're the CTU guy.
Yeah, either that or they just look at me askance when I'm eating dinner with my family. And
That's got to be a drag. Would you prefer, when you're out and about and you're eating with your family, would you prefer people just to say, hey, I love your work and come up to you, as opposed to the strange stares that I'm sure you get?
I actually appreciate the fact that we're doing something that people talk about the next day. And if they feel compelled to say hello and... You know, we dig the show, then that's, I mean, I take pride in my work, so that's, you know, that's one of the perks.
So, how's Chloe? I mean,
Chloe is great.
You gotta be sick of people coming up to you and asking you questions.
How's Chloe?
I only said it like that because you gotta be sick of people going, hey, what's Jack Bauer really like? Yeah. Hey, what's President Palmer like?
Chloe, they actually, I mean, I'm sure they do that to them. Mary Lynn Reska, who plays Chloe, the other day was in New York, and she said, people come up to her and said, hey, can you make that face for us?
Yeah.
That's gotta be, you know, mad.
You know, one of the things you hear about 24 is you hear that it does, that one of the reasons for the success of the show is that it does kind of hit close to home with everything that we've been through in this country. When you're involved in the production of the show, I wonder if you ever get that sense yourself. Does it ever kind of weird you out that you're producing these scenarios that are fiction, however they're just dangerously close to reality?
Well, I think, you know, I actually was having that conversation online today with a friend of mine, and he sent me something that someone had blogged about the show. It was some political slant or something. You know, the left and the right wing are both sort of up in arms about the show and how it's, you know, they're trying to, it's wild because it's a fantasy, and yet I think any show that touches on the human condition in a way that's never been done before, in an iconoclastic way, or in a sensationalistic way, I think that's what art is. So
I mean, that's hopefully what you do as an artist.
But don't
blur the line, you know.
James, don't you think, though, that on some extent, I think what you're talking about, Mike, is something that we all feel when you watch that. It's like...
Well, you see that mushroom cloud.
On the show 24, and more specifically when they use the coverage like of Fox News or the fake CNN, where we've become so used to it in our society that it's on TV with the thing on the bottom, nuclear cloud over Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, oh, yeah, that's just background, the Fox News alert. Just like if the stock market was down 200 points today.
Mm-hmm.
It almost becomes blasé-ish, and I wonder if that ever really happened. Are we seeing the way that our media would cover it? I mean, not, you know... Not
well, no, I think what we're doing probably when we look at this is go, wow, I'm glad that's not happening.
Yeah, I know I feel that way.
I know people who don't watch the news because it makes them feel too uncomfortable. And at the same time, I'm sure there are people who don't watch 24 for the same reason. But I don't know. I think anytime you can hit a nerve like that with what you're doing as an artist, you're doing the right thing.
I guess you're right. You know, the thing that when I'm watching 24, you mentioned that both sides politically are up in arms. I'm not sure I understand why, because it seems to me that you really are, this year, you're more political, I think, than you've ever been this year, and you've given both sides equal time, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, I think it's like we're like a threshing machine, this show, this year. It just sort of goes down the field, and it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, you're going to get mowed over.
You ever wonder if you're going to get to work one week and just open up the script and see that this is the week that... You know, you pull an Edgar?
No, is that what they call it now?
Yeah, pulling an Edgar.
Pulling an Edgar, yeah. I read the newspaper every day to see who pulled an Edgar. I used to feel that way when I was new to the show. I would go in and say to Nick, my friend, the wardrobe guy, you know, did you read the episode? Am I still in it? And, because I knew he would soften the blow. But now, you know, I'm a little bit closer to the creative team, and they're a little bit more forthcoming. So, but at the same time, they could surprise me with an Edgar move.
Yeah, you know? I suppose on a show like that, that's part of the attraction, that you really, you know, outside of Kiefer, you really don't know
because
what's going to happen from week to week.
Isn't part of it really the more that you become known to the audience and the more that the audience seems to grasp onto you, the more that the way TV is now, it's like, okay, as soon as they like you, we're going to take them away.
They used to joke about that, too, that the guys upstairs, the producers and stuff, I think that because they take it so lightly, because they're thinking of us as pawns in the story, which they ought to. I mean, that's their job. But they don't understand that after a while, those jokes, you know, pretty soon you have to say, hey, that's not funny anymore.
You know, when you look at a show like The Sopranos and how long it takes to produce the episodes of that show, and then you see how much actually goes on the show 24, and you guys seem to turn them around relatively quickly, that must make for some long work days, though.
Yeah, not all that long. Not as long as some, because because these guys have been working together so long. I think at this point there's like 95%... of the same crew that started.
Wow.
So they're a pretty good team. They work pretty efficiently, and we don't work much past 12 hours.
Hey, dude, there's something that, and again, it's wrong to give me this material because I read it,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll ask him about it. In something they sent along, it says, yoga has helped you, meaning you, Jim.
Yeah.
You prepare for your scenes by meditating, and your mantra is, I simply accept that I am Bill Buchanan. Now, please tell me that that is not true.
Hey, man, he's an actor.
That's a joke, right?
Oh, God. they should put in this little junk thing for DJs where the jokes are.
You know, I'm going to ask a question because I'm such a fan of the show. This is going to sound jive, but I really have a legitimate question here. What do you like best about the character of Bill Buchanan? As a person, what do you like best about Bill Buchanan?
This is a serious question.
This is a serious question.
Are you going to make him talk about Bill Buchanan like Bill Buchanan's a real guy?
I am a stalker of the show. I'm
because,
a stalker fan.
You didn't even really let me answer the yoga question. But
okay,
now,
go ahead.
Okay. Answer the yoga question first. Go ahead.
No, I'll do the Bill question first.
If it wasn't a joke, do you really have like a home where you go, I am Bill Buchanan?
No, even if I didn't do yoga, that's what I would think as an actor. I mean, I think you have to just accept that you're that character. Therefore, then the audience will accept it too. That's
okay.
That's my belief. But that being said, because I don't really know that much about acting after all, What was the question? What do I like most about Bill Buchanan?
Yeah, what do you like most about your character?
I think what I appreciate most about how he's evolved in this 24 soup, you know, as he's just an ingredient in this soup,
right?
Is that he's just he surrounds himself with these quirky, really brilliant people and lets them do their job in a really fair and compassionate way. I think that's a pretty amazing quality for a boss to have. And if more bosses were watching 24 and they decided to manage that way, what a great world this would be, huh?
I like that answer.
Yeah.
I like that answer.
You really do teach yoga in real life, don't you, really?
Yeah, I do.
You really do?
I do, yeah.
How do you meditate without just either, like, getting Mambo number 5 caught in your head or falling asleep? how do you meditate? And as a man, how do you possibly get your leg behind your neck in yoga?
Well, I'll answer the second question first.
Okay.
If you're, like, I'm 52 years old. So there is no reason for a 52-year-old man to put their ankle behind their head.
All right, so you don't do that when you do yoga.
I don't do that myself. I have done that, and I can benefit from doing other things besides that in my physical practice. But as far as the meditation goes, I'll give you a real easy overview of what I believe meditation is. If you're doing something that brings you joy or enlightenment or opens up your eyes and helps you ask questions that mean something regardless of the answer, you don't have to be sitting still with your eyes closed chanting Om to do that.
Okay, so you can do it a lot of different ways.
So if you're having a conversation, say you and I having this conversation,
yeah,
is a form of meditation.
You know what? For being a guy who plays Bill Buchanan, very uptight, very type A CTU guy.
Yeah.
The real James Morrison's kind of a
laid back guy. I probably
laid back love freak, aren't you?
I think when you really get to know Bill, I think you'll find that's the same holds true for Bill.
The same cat.
Do you think when Bill gets home and he's there with Karen Hayes that they light up some incest and he puts her in
incense? not incest.
I think they put on flowing gowns and dance around the living room. Sure. What, you know?
Do you think that they live in a house made out of recycled tires?
Yeah, you bet.
A clown. Well,
not airy fairy, you know, but new age.
Very good.
Yeah.
Gotcha. How long would you go with this ride on 24 if you're included next year? Will you continue the role? Or?
Oh yeah, because you guys watch the show, you enjoy the show, you're fans of the show. I could say, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, yes. I would guess that the thing you like the most about the show is that you watch this effort that everybody's putting forth, even if you don't, you know, even if it's far-fetched and fantastical and sometimes implausible,
mm-hmm,
there's a combination of thing of I don't know. It's the love of the work that you see. That's what draws you back.
Well, you know what it is. First of all, we've said since day one you have to suspend disbelief, and second, really, what it is like an old-time serial. Where every week you're waiting, that would
be the old cliffhanger.
That would be the only complaint is that, like, on last night's episode, I said to my girlfriend at one point, I said, oh, you don't make this a sweet episode. Boy, if Jack just kills his brother. Now later in the episode, you know, the father
kills the brother,
right. And she says to me, are you happy? And I said,
are you happy?
And I said, no, because I like it when it comes at like a surprise. When it's like
when it comes at you a little faster.
That's what is great about the show. So when is the next one of those great surprise moments coming, Jim?
Well, I don't know. You know, because I watched last night's episode, too, and that you're right. That death was like pulling off a big scab. It was... it was a long, laborious sort of death. I mean, but that's, you know, it's a pretty dysfunctional family, so you're not going to...
Yeah. It is.
You know, it truly is.
You're a good man and a good guy. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh,
and
you guys too. I had fun.
And real continued success to you on 24.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your support.
Thank you, James. Thanks for coming on the show.
Bye bye.
James Morrison.
Absolutely. Cool, you nailed it. You nailed it with the go back and light the incense and go back. You read the bio of the guy, and that's what he's all about. But a very interesting guy to talk to.
All right. So
now with that said, yes.
Yeah. Here's the thing about 24.
I am about ready to jump off. I told Mike before the show today, because part of it is I am really getting burned out on Jack just screaming at people.
Right.
I know I was kidding with that guy on the phone, the actor guy, but I do need that payoff. I mean,
well, the guy that plays the father is a fabulous actor. I've seen him in other things. He does a great job. In this particular role, he's leaving me cold.
I agree.
And I think he's leaving a lot of people cold. And really, you know what I think the reason is that you wanted to see Jack do it? Because the father did it. And it was kind of, you kind of saw it coming, but it was just, I don't know, that you're right. You want to be surprised a little bit more. And we have been in the past, and I hope that we get a little bit more of that. I might hang in there for a couple more episodes.
I thought we were going to find out what's going on between Jack Bauer and that chick that's his brother's wife.
The only thing you got was, this is not about you and me.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's it.
And I was even thinking, didn't somebody call the show and speculate that that kid might be Jack Bauer's kid?
Blonde boy.
Exactly. Yeah, blonde exactly. Kid. But it just, it lacked, you know, the father, the guy that's playing the role of the father, Babe, Pig in the City, you know, you got that one look on his face the whole time.
Yeah.
No emotion. And so I don't know. I don't get it.
We get done watching it, and Janet says, are we through with 24? I said, oh, no. No. She said, I thought you were going to give up on it. And I said, well, you know what? Here's the thing. I'll give him a couple more weeks to kill off somebody that I really like.
Right.
And that's how I watch 24 now.
You want to be shocked. You want to be surprised. That's really what they're all about.
And don't make it the British guy, okay? I won't be happy surprised if it's Morris, the British guy.
Morris is not a significant enough character.
And even though he was just fantastic on the show, you know, Bill Buchanan would be like the perfect example.
Yeah.
Nothing better. And I would hate to say this to his face. Nothing better like at the end of an episode if he's just walking down the hall and some guy like his... one of those darts, and it was just...
I think he's safely ensconced in CTU.
I
think
so.
He never leaves the building.
Or then,
I don't think he even goes to the bathroom.
Well, that's unsafe.
How about someone kills Chad Lowe, then?
Well, Chad Lowe's been there. Chad Lowe's a perfect example of that. Yeah. You know,
I think
Chad Lowe gets an attack of conscience, and then the advisor to the president, you know, snuffs his life out.
Mm-hmm.
See, the problem is, though, they think that father murdering... The brother of Jack is a very big shocker, and it's just not at the same level.
Mm. How many people?
Except I am going to be glad not to have to look at him anymore.
Who is the brother?
The brother.
Yeah. Bye-bye,
good riddance, midget man.
Brothers. We're so much alike.
Yeah.
We're so much alike.
You have to admit, though, it was a good torture scene, the way they made him sweat all over his head.
Yeah, I know.
It was pretty good.
It was a good torture scene, but then...
40 scenes.
You know how you're supposed to suspend the disbelief, but it was so hard for me. It's an awfully long way to go. Yeah, bringing them out to the tar pits or whatever, where they're going to shoot both the father and the son, and then count on Jack killing the two bodyguards. I don't get it.
Right there.
Yeah.
And I said to Janet when they went to break, I said, you know what? See, what I wanted was, I wanted Jack and the Babe in the City guy to actually get on their knees and started to be like a cliffhanger. I wanted them to start having a cement bath.
Yes.
I wanted to see the cement truck
start to
pour cement.
You're right, because they could have, you know, they could have shot them, and then they just cling to life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's a little tough with a bullet in the head.
Well,
those are really bad marksmen, you know. They grazed me in the shoulder, Dad.
They could have shot James Cromwell in his comically oversized nose.
Right. He does.
Thank you, Wayne.
Wayne Newton, ladies and gentlemen.
Wayne Spiewak, everybody. Anyway, I'm sticking with 24 for at least a couple more weeks. How about you, Kat?
I'm sticking with 24 because I think that guy we just interviewed was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to hang in there because of him.
2 hours next week.
If he had been a hump, you know, it would have been great because we could have bailed out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2 hours next week?
Oh, dear. Mm. 2 hours.
Yeah, mm. Challenge.
And how come Jack don't sweat?
He's Jack.
I know, but I mean, he was rubbing up against his brother who had the sweat machine going,
Jack,
and he was just as dry as Gladys Kravitz.
If you had been injected with the 7 cc's of the pentothal, you'd be perspiring too. But I'm not, because I'm over here injecting you with it.
And, you know, again, you suspend disbelief, but how about our Titus Tupperware security where the dad just walks around and then walks into the room and says, hey, give me a minute with my son.
I need to kill him.
Yeah. Pulls out the syringe. And then just lays down the syringe, doesn't even try to hide it.
Right. Now, see, what you're doing, though, is you're going against your own philosophy.
I know.
I think that syringe thing is going to come back, though, because they were so obvious in him just setting it down.
Yeah, but it's still, the fact that they left the room killed me.
Do you think?
I didn't understand that.
5 minutes.
Do you still think that, as I do, that that's Jack's illegitimate son?
Oh, we were talking about that.
The blonde kid, I think it is. And they keep sort of laying groundwork for that.
And I think that you're going to find out that the brother is actually his illegitimate son, too.
Really?
Yeah. He's actually 16.
Hence the
but
end
he's dead now, so it doesn't matter.
The brother.
The brother.
The end for the brother would have been the best end. Was it last week when he had the bag over his head?
Yes. Yeah, that was great when he was really struggling for air.
Now that's what I want from 24. Mm-hmm. Give me some of that, baby.
How about just, you know what they need? Maybe just a little more gore.
Don't give me Rod Tidwell's wife in the hospital with, Ahmed going, oh, I love you so much.
I know.
With my big manicured barbershop. What was the female version of barbershop? Oh, beauty shop.
Beauty shop with the lovely Queen Latifah.
Mm, baby, that is all over HBO right now.
And the Clueless Girl.
Ain't that right, girlfriend?
What up?
That's right, baby.
Who is the Clueless Girl? Her name escapes me right now.
Alicia Silverstone.
Alicia Silverstone.
Alicia Silverstone.
Alicia?
Alicia, who the first time I saw that movie on HBO, I thought it was Jamie Presley, the chick from My Name is Earl.
Right.
But no, it is Alicia Silverstone.
And, of course, let's not forget that fabulous performance by Kevin Bacon in Beauty Shop.
Wow.
Yes, you've stumbled upon something now. Yes, I have watched it.
Yeah.
I have watched it in its entirety. I'm an idiot.
You know, I watched on HBO the other day because it was in high def.
What? Star Wars. Star Wars has been all over the
and
high
And I hadn't
now.
Seen the first Star Wars in regular, in high def.
Right.
And talk about looking a lot of those scenes like crap. There's one scene where,
crude.
Where Harrison Ford is talking to Jar Jar Binks and he's looking 180 degrees the wrong way. I mean, he's like looking out of the back of his head towards another part of the room.
Right.
Like, not Jar Jar, but who's
Chewbacca?
Who's the fat guy?
Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba. That was it. Jabba. I can't tell you what to do. And I'm looking at it going, like, Jabba should be saying to him, look me in the eye. Look me in my big, fat, sloppy eye.
The special effects don't hold up necessarily. They really don't.
And Chewbacca. That is sad, because that's just a guy in a monkey suit.
But back in the day.
I know, back in the day.
It was a pretty special show.
And then I watched the bar scene in High Def, and you realize that they're just like guys in bad, like, Tournament of Roses parade costumes.
Oh, yeah.
Really? They're not even CGI guys. They're just like real actors with crab heads on.
And lots of ropes.
Yeah, you know, those little obscure little high-definition channels, it's a very small amount of movies that we see.
We got to hit this mic so we can do something more excellent when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Little background before we play this next rejoinder tape. Salute to the good people listening in Sacramento. Mm. Rob, who lives in a time machine, was watching what with your daughter?
The Amazing Chan and the Chan Clan on Boomerang. It's about a incredible Asian detective and his 10 kids.
Anyway, he found a Charlie Chan cartoon that mentioned Modesto and Sacramento.
Excellent.
Let's roll that now,
good
please.
Work.
What are you talking about?
Dimple's visit here was not to see you, but to rob the safe. It's Fingers McCann, the notorious bank robber.
You've got nothing on me, Chan.
The police told us that the bank robberies happened in Stockton, Sacramento, and Bakersfield.
All the places that the circus had played. So obviously someone's using the circus for cover.
There is no refrigerator in her trailer. Most unusual. A person with a tendency toward obesity would find a great need for a refrigerator.
The Don and Mike Show.
They try to help you. So go to hell. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I need some heat. I've got food.
Sorry, honey.
Our panelists are about to fall out. Wondering. As the old guy said, you're just not a potted plant.
Like to fall out.
What up?
I don't know.
Wow.
I talked to my buddy last night that was in Las Vegas with the over-under bet.
Right. Did he continue to do well? Did he come back wealthier than he left?
Yeah. I had it explained to me real clear.
Good.
That it was, the line was 47.5, that either the two teams would score more or less, and you bet accordingly, and everybody was betting over.
The over.
So he bet the under when the odds for the under we're getting real good looking, and he won a bunch of money.
Cool.
And then as I'm talking to him, he says, did you hear about Charles Barkley?
And I said, you know, I think I saw that on Sports Center or something like that.
Charles out there doing a little gambling.
Charles Barkley, you gotta love him. The round mound of sound. Charles Barkley really says what's on his mind. Charles Barkley says, yes, I was in Las Vegas over the weekend. Yes, I bet on the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I bet on the Colts. I played some blackjack. Well, how'd you do, Charles? Well, on Sunday, I won about $700,000.
Oh, my God.
How great is that?
He's very open about his gambling. He talks about it all the time.
How great is that?
Not a bad day. Well, he gambles a lot, too.
Yeah, there was some report that he had lost like $10 million in his lifetime gambling.
Yeah, he talks about that occasionally, doesn't he?
Yeah, love it. Love it. Fantastic.
I bought his book in the bargain bin the other night at the bookstore. The race book that you like so bad.
Oh, that book that he wrote with Mike Wilbon. Afraid of a Big Black Man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading that.
Yeah, books are such ripoffs. Yeah, if I could just impart that bit of wisdom to you.
I actually joined the club last night.
A book club? Well, you're probably worried about the club.
No, I got to a point where this is the time of year, incidentally, that I do a lot of trips to bookstores because it's just cold and there's not a lot to do. And,
right.
You know, outside of a few TV shows, it's a suck fest. And I went in there and the guy finally just won too many times.
Oh, you mean that thing where you get a percentage off?
Yes.
Are you
a member?
Bad
and
for
I,
you.
And I finally said, all right.
Oh, you cave.
And then he gives me the whole spiel. And you know, the only thing that he said, he said, now there's your little discount right at the end. And it shows you what you save every single time. And mm-hmm. I said, can my girlfriend use it too? Yeah, absolutely.
Here's the thing about books, though.
But I got tired of them saying that. So now when they say it to me, I'm going to go, yes, here. Right. Just like I do with my card at the drugstore.
Right, as well.
Books, to a much lesser extent, are just like hot video games. You know, if there's a book out that you're dying to read,
yes,
and I'm not talking about any big fancies, like James Patterson.
Well, that's why I was in there last night, the new James Patterson. There's an article about him in the paper. It hasn't come out yet, so they didn't have it there.
Guy puts out books the way that I have bowel movements.
Right.
Like every other day.
Right. But I love him.
Either he or John Grisham have a book that's out. And I get them on Amazon, mm-hmm. where you get that thing like, order in advance, and it's only $28,
right.
And you get the book then the day that it comes out. And invariably, those books have such a short, if you'll pardon the pun, shelf life, that you can wait 6 months and go in a bookstore,
yes.
and see a book that 6 months ago, because you had to have it. Like, here's a perfect example. The Bill Clinton book. When that book came out, I friggin' had to get that, because I said, I got to read this book.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the book was like $45. First off, it's 800 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to find mine, so I ended up just saying, screw it, and gave the book to Frieda to read.
Right.
I remember it had to be in the same calendar year.
Yeah.
I was in the same store,
yep.
and the very same book, I'm not kidding, was $2.99.
Yeah, that's because it was 800 pages. Yeah, actually, it's a pretty good bargain by the page.
It's like that with every book, though.
Well, it is, too. And there's well, you know what it is, and I think
if you can wait, it's cheap.
Well, the knock on James Patterson, John Grisham, and I think this is how you prove, you know, what great literature is compared to those guys. Can you remember any of James Patterson's books?
Yes.
You can. I can't. I said, I've read four or five of them.
And the new one is really good.
And I said, you know, hey, what was that one about? And I actually looked at, I think it was called The Honeymoon, and one of his books.
I was a follow-up to The Lake House.
I know I read it, but I forgot whether I read it or not.
The new one that's out now, Cross, if you've read all of his books.
I haven't read Cross. I bought it last night.
Detective Alex Cross finally founds the guy that killed his wife like 20 books ago.
Detective Alex Cross. That's his series. And I guess he's starting a brand new one with, he writes with different authors, too. That was what the article was about. He gets guys that are promising young authors, and he co-writes with them. Not only, I mean, this guy's got the best system
in the
world.
Yeah, he has them do all the work.
I mean, he really does.
In a James Patterson book, forgive me if we've mentioned this before, because we talk about books so much on the show.
Constantly, really. We talk about idiot books.
To James Patterson, really? A chapter is one page.
Right.
James Patterson, you could say, like, chapter 13, I walked in the room, I was thirsty, I went to the bathroom. turn the page. Chapter 14.
Well, and his letters are big.
Yeah, right. It's big print.
And some of his letters are really big. Some of his books are absolutely like 380 pages and letters the size of a child's book. And I'm like, yes, I just finished the Patterson novel. And I was just like, you know, Alex Cross got out of the car and knew that this was the killer. And thank you.
And like I said, you know, you pay big bucks for them if you wait just 3 or 4 months.
Right.
Just like with the PS3s. I was thinking about this the other day when I was looking on. I know what it was. Here's some exciting ordering underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Or I was ordering underwear at Target.com.
You're crazy with the online.
Why go out?
Why? No, seriously.
Yes, I know. They'll bring it to your
Why
house.
Why go to the store? It's
because I want to touch it. That's it. I want to touch it. I want to feel it.
It's
I want to grip it. I want to rub it.
Anyway, I go to Walmart.
See, but underpants, you don't have to because you know
Target.com.
You buy the same underpants all the time, right?
Yes,
same
I do.
Same brand?
Right. I'm a Hanes guy.
Yeah, so I got
to
do that.
So I go to buy my underpants, and it says right away, PS3's in stock. Little pop-up thing.
What are PS3s?
PlayStation 3.
Oh. And they have the whole game system?
Right, and I'm remembering that just a month ago...
Have they gone down to $900 yet?
If you were retarded a month ago, you could have gotten it for $4,000 on eBay or something.
Mm-hmm.
Now on Walmart.com, it's like, in stock, $500.
Hey, Marilyn,
and a bundle that came with and everything else in the goddamn world.
Yeah, by mid-July, that's going to be even cheaper.
Yeah.
Sure.
But who can wait? That's the whole thing about our society. I can't wait on the books.
Right.
If one of these schmucks with one of these new dumb books that you and I like so bad comes out, I got to spend $30 to get it today.
Well, like the James Patterson book we were talking about. If it's a James Patterson book with really big letters, that's about 300. Yeah, maybe let's say 280 pages. That'll take me about a month and a half to read.
Hey, Yanni, you got this website?
I'm up and ready.
Okay, good. Found a website. Mike, you can help me out on this.
Very good.
The website is... I can't read your writing. What is it, Johnny?
GoToQuiz.com.
GoToQuiz.com.
Gotcha. This is where you find out if you have an American accent or not.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
There are a bunch of questions. Here you go. I'll take the quiz. You ask them because a lot of it hinges on your pronunciation of words. Okay?
Okay. Let me first say, what is your age?
No, I'm not going to do that. I'll do this normally. All right. Question number one. Are you ready?
Here we go.
What is your age?
48. Now,
listen carefully. Now, I have to go through this.
Oh.
Under 18 years old?
I'm 48, Mike.
18 to 24. All right, so you are?
48.
41 to 50 years old.
Bingo. Put that in, John.
Check that in there. John's doing this?
On the computer. Yes, he is.
Okay, this one will be tough. What is your gender?
Okay. Female.
You're a male.
Male and female.
We're going to start with two ordinary. I'm trying to think who's the guy that said that. I'm talking to the person that's inside of Sybil now. No. We're going to start with two ordinary words. Caught and caught. Do you think those words sound the same or different?
Different.
All right. What about Don and Dawn?
Different.
All right. Very good. Question number five. Okay. What about stock and stock?
The way you just said them, they sound the same.
All right.
So actually, you're a linguist, Mike.
Well, it would be stock shelves and stalk somebody.
But that's not how it's presented, right? In a sentence, it's just the words. Right.
You know what I should do? I should probably spell them for you instead of pronouncing them, because I'm actually giving you a leg up. Okay, what about S-T-O-C-K and
stock.
S-T-A-L-K?
Stalk.
Stalk.
No, you say them, but you say stock. They both sound the same way. Stop stalking me.
I would say they sound different.
Well, I'm taking the quiz.
I
understand. They sound the same.
They sound the same. Now then, how do collar
collar
and caller sound? The same
collar.
Or different?
Different.
All right. Do you think the word on rhymes with dawn?
On or, and dawn.
Or with don?
On and don.
Okay.
Don.
Don is the answer. Moving on. What do you think about Marry, Merry, and Marry?
Mary, Mary, and Mary, all the same.
Okay. Our next word is horrible.
Horrible.
How does that first vowel sound?
Like whore? Har, H-O-R.
It's just
har.
It's just like in the word whore. It's that's actually in here.
Oh, is it really good? Har, whore, horrible.
Or it's the same O sound as in hot.
Hot.
So do you say horrible or horrible?
No, I say horrible like whore.
Whore. Okay, horrible. Very good. All right. And there is a category for neither one. Now for pen and pin. Don't worry about what others say is correct. Just tell us how they come out in ordinary conversation. Do they come out as in ordinary conversation, the words?
Where's my pen?
Yeah.
Where's my pen? They're different.
They're different. I agree. What about F-E-E-L and F-I-L-L?
Feel and fill. Different.
Different. When you say about, does the O-U sound like the O-U and loud?
You tell me about.
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 Yes, it's loud. It's
about.
When you say about, does the O-U sound like the O-U in loud? Yes, is the answer. Last question. When you say B-A-G, does it rhyme with
bag.
B-A-G-U-E?
Does bag rhyme with what?
V-A-G-U-E.
With vague?
Yeah.
Bag and vague? No.
No. That's the last one.
Is that it?
That's it. You're
right,
done,
John,
with your quiz.
Put the results
and
in.
And I would have been right with you. I would have been right with you on all the answers.
I think one of them, I thought they sounded the same.
Right. I would have, horrible is the way, I would have said the on sound with horrible.
All right, Johnny.
Horrible.
This is actually funny. It tells you what kind of accent you have. Your result is the Inland North. You may think you speak standard English straight out of the dictionary, but when you step away from the Great Lakes, you get asked annoying questions like, are you from Wisconsin? Or are you from Chicago? Chances are you call all carbonated drinks pop.
Wow.
Uncanny. You know what that is? That
wow.
Is, that is, I swear to Christ, I didn't look at that website. You know what's creepy about that?
They're right on.
I do call, well, besides the accent, I do call it pop, and I have people say to me all the time, what the frick are you talking about? I say to John, give me a can of pop.
John, is there any way you can run all of those just with the chains on horrible?
Yeah, hold on a sec.
Because I'm really curious with that one. Because I think we matched every single sound,
so,
I think.
Same age, same gender.
No, different gender, Don.
Hey, is Joe back there?
He is.
Joe?
Yeah.
Congratulations, Joe. Always a class act.
All right, put in Mike's answers and see what Mike says.
Caught and caught are the same for you, Mike, or different?
What is it?
C-O-T and C-A-U-G-H-T?
Those are different.
Okay, and Don were different. Stock and stalk were different?
I'm all the same except for that one.
That was the same. Collar was the same.
No pressure.
He's got to
go through. Yeah, I just got the date. Of course.
Hey, Rob, isn't it funny with somebody else on the computer?
It is funny.
Isn't it funny? Why don't you yell and tell him, hurry up.
Like hot. Hey,
what, Rob?
Hurry up.
I'm hurrying. Mike, do you say...
Come on.
Horrible? Is it horrible or horrible?
Horrible. Horrible. Not whore. Not like whore. Ah, the ah sound. Not the whore. Right. That's
different.
The one I told you. Just change
come on,
one.
Just change one answer.
Jesus Christ. I said change one. He's got to go through
John?
All of them, though. Oh, he's got to go through them all.
Right. All right. Here we go.
Christ.
Mike, you have the Midland accent. It's just another way of saying you don't have one. You're probably from the Midland, Pennsylvania, Southern Ohio, Southern Indiana, Southern Illinois, or Missouri. But for all we know, you could be from Florida or Charleston, one of those big Southern cities like Atlanta or Dallas. You have a good voice for TV and radio.
Ah, all right.
Well, yours? Is that what it said, really?
Yeah, really.
You have a good voice for TV and radio.
Says.
Oh, thank you.
And
mine, mine
said I call Cola Pop. we got a break because Jeff Probst wants to talk about the new Survivor. We will be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Mike Show.
All right, hold on. Let me just make sure I've got... Here we go. My man, Peyton Manning, just standing by. Jeff Probst on the phone as well. Give me 1 second. You got it, Robbie?
Yeah.
Beautiful. A little tribute to my man, Peyton. Peyton Manning. Oh, this is embarrassing.
Coach Dungy and I had a pretty cool moment, I'd say. I'm talking to a buddy of mine. He hands me the phone. He's like, you need to take this call. And I was like, well, I'm on the phone here. He's like, no, you need to take this call. So I hang up, and it's the president. In some cases, I've seen past quarterbacks that have won a Super Bowl that I kind of call it getting the pass. They kind of get the pass.
Yeah.
You know, in other years, they have a bad year, and they say, you want a Super Bowl, we'll kind of give them the pass. And I guess what I'm saying is I don't want the pass.
Two young lovers in the front porch wine. Boy, I told the girl he didn't bother riding. Hope in one day soon that they will.
Peyton Manning.
She said fine, but I swapped her near. You whisper pretty does work in my ear.
The great Peyton Manning.
Her in his arms and
singing his classic, Gomer Says Hey.
Gomer says, hey, Gomer says, hey.
Coach Dungy and I had a pretty cool moment, I'd say.
Gomer says, hey.
Okay.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stop it.
Caution. Retards in area. The Don and Mike Show.
You're right about that. Now on the line. Always nice to talk to Jeff Probst from Survivor.
Hi, Jeff.
How you doing?
Hey, nice having you back on the show, Jeff Probst, everybody. I don't think since the original Survivor, since the first one that we had Jeff on. Jeff, the new one is Thursday night in Fiji, and from all the ads I've seen, you guys seem to be going back on the cast, meaning that you're spotlighting. I've seen the highlights of some of the favorite cast members of the past. Will it be more personality-oriented with the people on the island this time?
Good observation. We definitely changed our promotion tactic to be more about just what you said, more about people, because we felt like we had some really good people this year that really jump out, and so we decided rather than say for the 17th time they'll be battling it out, we figured let's just tell you who's going
to
be battling.
Well, you know, right, I have to tell you, my girlfriend's a huge fan of the show, and I jump in and jump out. I'm not as passionate about it as she is. The way you're promoting it, it's caught my eye more than in years past, and I think you're going to have a very, very successful season this year. That and the fact that you're going with the extremes of, when someone doesn't win a challenge, it's all or nothing, and they're going to go through the hardship. That's getting me going. I think it's going
to
be great.
Yeah, we explained to everybody, Jeff, Fiji is where the show is this year, and I think Fiji, and I think, you know, hey, sign me up at the Ritz-Carlton, and I'm there.
Right.
But there's a seedy side of Fiji, isn't there?
Yeah, we're definitely not in the pretty part of Fiji. Not by design, just mainly because that's where we could go, where there wasn't a lot of tourists, and so it's a little harder. It's not as pretty. It worked out for the show well, and like you guys said, the big overall creative is, all 19 of them build this one shelter, and it's really spectacular. We give them architectural plans and pre-cut lumber and all this stuff. But then they divide up, and only one tribe gets to live there, and the other tribe gets a pot and a machete and a cave. So you have this disparity that had an impact, kind of like those the Stanford experiment they did, where they took they made one group prisoners and one group guards. And the result was, in our case, the people who won and got the nice shelter were very entitled, thought they were better, thought they deserved things, and the other group were just the clear underdogs because you felt so bad for them.
That's how you do it. That's how you.
You're selling it to me right now.
A lot of things
true.
I'd like to ask you. Your thoughts on this, Jeff. I think there are really only two reality shows. There's Survivor and there's American Idol.
Okay.
And everything else comes from those two shows. You got the tribe that spoken. You've got
absolutely
that's good.
I think you're right.
The three judges. Did you think when you got into this as the host of Survivor that it would be such a cottage industry, and that 4 or 5 years later Survivor would still be on the air, and everybody else would just throw an S up against the wall to see what sticks?
No. I neither of those things did I think about, and I never even thought about it until you said it, but I think you're right that a lot of the shows do either have a three-judge format or they have challenges and people are eliminated.
And you get voted off. I mean,
yeah.
It's why Survivor's still great.
I think, too, that, you know, Survivor has a couple of things going for it, I think. One is just a great format. The structure of the show, the reason so many people copy it is it really works well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it doesn't play any better than it does out in a sort of a Lord of the Flies situation. And then I think the other thing is, and I know I'm biased saying this, but after 14 seasons, I still believe when I watch the show that it is as well executed today as it was on day one.
God, it's hard to believe it's 14 seasons. I was going to ask you which is harder, location scouting now after all these years or coming up with new challenges?
Well, it's a close race. Because finding places you can go in the world where there aren't other people, where it's safe to go, where it will work for Survivor and the government will work with you, are difficult. And, man, coming up with creative ideas is...
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Two more,
It's tough.
Two more things, Jeff. Real fast. It'll be in high def this year, right?
No, I don't know where that's coming from.
I saw a promo during the Super Bowl that looked like it was in high def. I mean, if there was ever a show that should be in high def, with the beautiful locations you guys have.
Oh, tell them to spend the money. Come on.
Well, here's the deal. There's two things. One is, up until now, we haven't believed that the technology of the gear, we haven't believed the gear could handle the conditions, the humidity and all that stuff. I mean, we have cameramen who are walking out in the ocean with their cameras. You got to be able, these cameras have to be able to endure a lot. And they're in the sand and all that. Well, they think Sony seems to believe they can do that now. And the other thing is, CBS now wants us so bad that they're willing to pony up the extra money, and because it's expensive to change over. So it looks like we're shooting next season in HD.
Gotcha. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about, I know your time is limited. When Regis has hip replacement or whatever, age spot removal, whatever he has, they yank you and you sit in the chair next to Kelly Ripa. And when Regis comes back, he is always very worried about you. He's not worried about her pretty husband sitting there or David Spade sitting there.
No, he's got his eyes on you, Mr. Probst.
Or Howie Mandel. The guy that Regis is always worried about, I think that Jeff Probst is trying to take my gig, is you.
I think, I don't know, you know, I think it's probably a bit of a joke at this point for him because he knows that, I mean, obviously that's his show. It's the Regis show.
But Jeff. Please, and I mean this with all respect.
I know you're being sensitive here.
Regis is as old as dirt. I mean, his next show could be his last show. What about when you get the call and they say, guess what? It wasn't just a fall down the stairs this time. Okay, it's time for, she won't go for it, but it's going to be Jeff and Kelly. Or maybe you'll have to eat it at first and have it be the Kelly and Jeff show.
Any thoughts about, you know, you got to be thinking about your future every now and then. You know, Survivor might not necessarily last forever, although it's gone pretty long this far. Yeah, you want to do some TV talk show hosting in the future.
Well, I definitely, if I was going to do a talk show, you know, that chemistry with Kelly is so rare. You know, if I tried to do a talk show on my own, I'm not sure I'd have any luck, but I certainly do have fun doing it. I really do. And I've thought about it from time to time. I've thought, God, what if this was my job? You know, I'd have to move to New York. Would I want to live there? Oh, my God, this is one of the greatest. This job is better than the job I have.
And all of that hinges on Regis's health.
We understand you can't say anything about that.
I wouldn't. You guys know.
I know. Jeff, about Survivor again, with the characters, and I'm thinking back over the years, in the ads I saw that you had, you know, Richard Hatch and Rudy saying, you know, I like him, not in a homo way.
Right.
And then you had, who was that large Marge that was way down upon the Swanee River?
So there's a lady from Virginia. I think she was from Virginia.
Suhawk?
No, not from the first year. She was...
we can't remember her name.
Not Suhawk.
God, hold on. Who was it, Johnny?
It was the second season. It was the lady who was voted off first. Mad Dog.
Mad Dog. Without giving away company secrets, do you have a Mad Dog? Do you have a Rudy for us this year? Do you have a senior citizen who we're going to latch on to?
The answer is yes.
We do. And he is one of my all-time favorite survivors now, and his name is Yao Man.
Yao Man?
Yao Man. He's not as old as Rudy. I mean, Rudy was 72, I think.
Right.
But he's from, actually, Kota Kinabalu, which is in Borneo, where we shot the very first season. He grew up on those islands, and now he's in his 50s. He's very frail, but he is hilarious.
He's selling it.
And no, I'm serious.
No, I'm serious.
No, but you're really good at what you're doing. I mean, I don't think it's by design, but I am really ready to watch the show now.
I'm telling you right now, if you don't like Yao Man, it will be for some reason other than everything he is, because he's a charming guy who you look at and you go, as you get to know him, you think, you know what? I hope this guy lasts, because he's like Rudy. He's a guy you kind of just want to do well.
And, Jeff, you know, I wouldn't have done this the first season because nobody knew it would be the phenomenon, but I have to prevail upon you right now just for a little. I always like to grab a little piece of tape that we can hold on to forever.
Okay.
Is there any way you could say, Don and Mike, the tribe has spoken?
Of course.
Thank you.
Don and Mike, the tribe has spoken.
You got to say it one time.
He's got to put his name
in
there.
You got to say, hey, this is Jeff Probst.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, this is Jeff Probst. Don, Mike, the tribe has spoken. I need a nap after that.
All right, Jeff, good talking to you. We'll watch your show this year. We hope to have you on. Okay.
Later.
Bye, dude. Bye-bye. Jeff Probst. He's kind of
don't
a
you cool. like it that I kind of work like an advertising executive when I'm on this show?
I'm glad you do. Yeah. I'm glad you remember that, for God's sake.
I always throw in the little Isaac Hayes thing at the end there. You know, I think we can save him. You know, it's like collecting.
I'm glad you do. He is a tool, but like I said, I do mean that about that show. I will probably get sucked into watching it again because they have highlighted the personalities. I don't so much care to see people running around a beach trying to put round pegs into a square hole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you got eight people that are eating caviar, and you got eight people that are eating dead rodents,
that is absolutely the sell of the show, and I think that's why this might be one of the more successful years they have, especially if they have good personalities on it.
What do you think, Randy?
No way.
No way, Randy. What about you, honey? What's up with you?
What up?
What's up with you? And I keep. I want to keep. Are you still cold?
I need some heat. I've got food.
Okay.
You cover the gamut.
I know. Kiss my ass.
Yeah, I'm totally gay for you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Kiss my fat ass.
Fantastic.
Have you heard the Ryan O'Neill 911 call?
I have not, no.
All right, we mentioned this yesterday, that Ryan O'Neill went nutty on his son.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we're all, even without hearing the facts yesterday, we all assumed that Ryan O'Neill was in the right.
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess so.
Yeah. That's at least...
Why did we, though? Because now when you say that, I'm saying, yeah, we did, and now I'm thinking, well, why did we? Because Ryan's kind of a whack job as well.
When you and I were talking about the story, I mean, just Mike and I...
We were talking about Griffin O'Neill, who really is kind of an asshat.
An F-bomb, like Marlon Brando's screwed up son. And I think that you and I came to the unspoken thought that, well... Ryan O'Neill is right. Whatever Griffin O'Neill did, Ryan O'Neill is right.
And isn't the story that came out today that the reason they called the police, didn't he, she got hit in the head with like a fireplace poker?
Griffin swang at his dad. Swung a fireplace poker at his dad.
Swing!
Swing!
Dad ducked. It hit the girl. And then to try and scare his son out, he shot the banister with his pistol. Ryan O'Neill did.
Right, so we might have to rechange our Ryan O'Neill position.
No, I think you're still right, because he wouldn't have shot if he wasn't swinging the poker.
But anyway,
I read the story and thought that Ryan O'Neill was taking that shot because he feared for his life.
Here is the 911 call.
911 emergency. I need an ambulance, please. 913.
913.
936. I need an ambulance.
913.
I'm sorry. Hurry up.
911 emergency. What are you reporting?
I need an ambulance, please.
Okay, what is your location?
That's my phone. It's up there.
Okay, what's wrong?
I got hit by something. I can't pay. Help me.
Okay, stand the line. I'm going to transfer you to the fire department. What is your name?
Joanna Berry.
Okay, Joanna, stand the line. I'm going to transfer you.
It's weird.
You're listening to Kerry Spiewak. It continues now.
Yeah, it's right there. Stop.
I just need to get the transfer to...
Hi.
My log is 44.
Yes.
You need to calm down so I can get the information.
Okay.
The name is Spiewak.
Kerry Spiewak.
We need to come to...
I'm in a lot of pain. Okay.
I'm going to hit by something, but I don't know what it is.
I'm in California. I see light.
Okay, looks like we're already on the way out there. Somebody is close to you. Hello?
I see light.
Help. She's saying, I see light?
You should hear...
I see lights.
I see light.
Is she talking about police lights?
I think so, yeah, or something.
Entertainment Tonight covered it last night like the president has been shot.
Oh, all right, let's now... You heard the raw tape. Let's hear what Entertainment Tonight has.
Ryan O'Neill arrested, charged with beating his son Griffin. But what is the real story? Only E.T. has a close family friend who says Ryan was just defending himself against his out-of-control son. Ryan O'Neill today in Brentwood with his friend Charlie Matera, son Redmond, and mom Farrah Fawcett just days after Ryan was arrested for allegedly attacking his other...
Don't these names just fly by at you like you're swimming at like Ryan Chipotle? You know, it's like the Velveeta. It's like, oh, what? Names coming at you.
Jesus Christ.
Brian O'Neill and his son Chipotle. Chipotle. My name's Chipotle O'Neill, and I've got a really bad drug problem.
I'm Griffin.
And this is horrible. You know, this is a horrible thing for him. And it's not a fight. Not when you get attacked with a fireplace poker.
It began late Friday night after a birthday party for Farrah Fawcett and ended early Saturday morning with Ryan O'Neill's mugshot.
I get a call from Farrah. It's like 12:30. And she's very upset.
This music, you're right, Rob. This music, dun, dun. It's like 24 music.
At least tweak it up after you interview Chipotle.
This tool is a guy named Charlie, and his connection is that he made a movie with Ryan O'Neill 20 years ago.
He's the friend.
And he says, we're friends.
Yeah, the Hollywood friend.
Hollywood friend Charlie.
Charlie, I don't know what's going on out there. Griffin is attacking his father. I said, Farrah, I'm leaving right now.
Farrah.
Ryan's friend Charlie Matera says it was a much different scene when he got there Friday night.
I mean, all the L.A. sheriffs were there and firing.
What? Is it a prerequisite? I go back all the way to OJ. Do they have to have the slime ball sleazy friend?
Well,
do they all have to? I said, Farrah, I'm in my car, and I'm going out there.
Charlie called Farrah, and Farrah called Chipotle and Redmond.
Let's hear some more Peyton Manning.
All I really want to say is on behalf of the players, we want to thank the greatest fans in the world, you Indianapolis Colts fans. Thank y'all very much.
Keep in mind, I'm a fan.
I know.
Peyton Manning.
I do.
She said fine, but I'd like to hear.
Well, I feel fortunate to be a part of a team that had a chance to win one. And I truly understand that in order to win a Super Bowl, you have to be on the right team. Yeah.
Gomer says, hey, hey, hey. Gomer says, hey, hey, hey.
You know, we've had chances in years past. But our team just hasn't been good enough. So this year, our team was good enough.
Hey, Peyton.
Hey.
Peyton Pyle. Gomer says, hey. Hey.
Wow.
Where's Chipotle?
Chipotle.
Is it Chipotle?
It's Chipotle.
I almost said a bad word.
It's Chipotle.
That would be funny. Whatever his ass word.
You came Chipotle up with the name. You came up with the name of Ryan O'Neill's son. Chipotle. Chipotle O'Neill. Chipotle.
I'm going to say the S word because I want to say Chipotle.
Perfect. Chipotle is what
Chipotle.
It is. It's Chipotle.
Perfect. Chipotle.
Have some Chipotle.
It's delicious.
It's very, very good. And I don't think we're saying anything wrong.
No.
Chipotle.
Let's go to Norfolk and have some Chipotle.
The best Chipotle I've ever been to is in Norfolk.
Yay! I want them to die!
I didn't like the horse video.
No.
For goodness sakes. Saying the S word.
Sort of. We weren't, though.
No, we weren't.
So we could say it again and again. Because repetition is irrelevant.
Right.
Just a big hand. Maybe that's our new word. They're not a sponsor, are they?
They are.
What, they are?
Yes.
I love them. We all love them. They're fantastic. They're delicious.
Come on, Chipotle. No, Chipotle.
Ooh, man. This is good Chipotle. We're not even saying the real name of the sponsor.
No.
That's Chipotle.
Right.
Entirely different.
Ooh.
Delicious stuff.
Holy Chipotle, it's cold out. Damn.
What are you shaking your head? What, John?
What's the problem, Johnny?
John is just giving me,
they're hitting the button like crazy.
Oh, are they hitting the button?
Right. Are they deleting all this out?
Not all of it.
Not all of it. That's good. Because anytime we really get on something funny, that's what they're good at.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting the freaking button.
I think they're wrong, too.
For God's sake.
They could make a real case for it.
What was that?
What was that in the background?
I don't know. Joe's watching videos.
Joe's watching videos.
Congratulations, Joe. Always a class act.
Okay.
Don't let this show get in the way of your TV viewing.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I've got sand in every nook and cranny.
Yeah.
Are wet all day.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
A consummate unprofessional. Don and Mike.
He's mentally retarded.
What up?
I used to fall, baby.
I need some heat. I've got food.
Okay, I got you. Used to fall. Harry Potter bit. Harry Potter shirtless tomorrow.
Yes,
we don't have time today. We get tomorrow. Nude. Also tomorrow on the show, I'd like to pull back the underbelly, pull back the cover, show you the underbelly of radio. Something we used to do all the time. I think we used to call it something like touch a hand, make a friend. Anyway, what I've got here is some of the help wanted ads, the reverse help wanted ads from the DJ newspaper.
Oh, position sought?
Yes, DJs who are looking for jobs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And as you know, Mike and I are always giving back to the kids.
Always. It's what we do.
Because that's what it's about here on the Don and Mike Show.
It's what we say every day.
Giving it back to the kids.
Thanks, buddy.
We want everybody to try to help these people find jobs. And
yeah, we've been successful a couple of times.
More than one time we helped someone get a job.
Right.
Yeah. Magic Christian.
He wasn't really grateful, though.
I remember how that went.
That didn't work out that well.
Started out great.
Here's what some of them say. For instance, I'm attentive. I'm a fast learner. Mm-hmm. I like talking. I like taking on hard tasks. I excel in copywriting, production. I do sports play-by-play. And I do voiceovers. Now, how can someone that talented not have a job in radio?
Exactly. We'll make sure that's not a problem for long.
Here's one. I'm changing careers. I'm changing my voice. Changing my personality. I'm standing my ground and my sense of humor. I can take it from the best of them.
Wow.
Relocation is my game. Glinda is my name.
Glinda like the Good Witch?
Glynda.
All right.
Glinda.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
These are always the guys that I feel the worst for.
Yeah.
23-plus year vet.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he's served in, he's been in radio 23 years.
Right, right.
Seeks sales and or sales and on-air combination gig.
Now, that's a guy that's wide open to anything, right?
That's a guy who will play a box of records during the day and then go out and sell commercials.
And I know a lot of smaller stations are looking for that kind of guy, right?
Let me see. We'll relocate Larry Michael.
What?
Hi, guys!
Really?
That's a joke. No, it's not really. Here's another one. And it's always the guys who have just talent oozing out of every pore. I am a former News Talk Program Director. I am a former Urban Program Director. I am an award-winning country music disc jockey. I am a former Operations Manager. I am a former Producer. I have on-air ability. Winning record with news and all types of talk. I can be conservative, progressive, or do entertainment and lifestyle.
A lot of options here.
Comprehensive skill set. And what's the guy? And then he has an email address with a phone number. Will work for talk is the guy's email address.
Clever. Clever.
So if you'd like, we can call one of these talented people.
That's a good idea.
See if we can do anything to help them. Buzz?
Yeah.
I don't think during your news show, you didn't mention that, what was it about meth? I remember what it was about meth.
Oh, it's just fantastic.
It's not good.
No.
That's what I want to say.
Oh, bad for you, really.
Meth isn't good.
I thought we were going the opposite tack.
No. Hold on. No. I got it right here.
It gives you energy and makes you look better. Don't do meth, kid.
Wright County, Minnesota.
Uh-huh. Right.
Addicts are so desperate for meth, they're collecting pee from other meth freaks.
Yee.
They figured out a way to cook the pee to extract out the meth.
Oh, my God.
Some of the people don't bother to extract the meth.
No.
Straight up.
Oh, my God.
Straight up. And they try to get high.
What could go wrong? Oh, dear.
In essence, is that the problem is that because you have to, like, get a note from your doctor to buy Sudafed now, this is the next best thing. That if you got a friend who's partying, you ask him to fill up a glass for you.
Yeah, and if you drink your friend's number one, you're actually never going to get a cold.
Or athlete's foot.
You have complete your feet clear up, and you have your sinuses have never been better.
Bet there's a lot of overlap on that list and the position sought list from R&R.
Oh, exactly. The same people, all from Minnesota, Rob.
I've spent a lifetime, incidentally, going on my feet in the shower,
And I can tell you that no matter what Madonna says or any other expert out there who I've heard spout out about how urine can take care of athlete's foot.
Yeah, you're not supposed to put it on your feet. You're supposed to drink it.
Well, that's where you've gone
wrong.
That's the mistake. You're supposed to use the Indian method.
I mean, I've actually been to the point where I've stood in the shower and released.
Aimed.
No, it started off as just kind of a general, if it's on the floor, it'll get on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
Then try this one sometime. When you're standing in the shower, standing on one foot, holding your thing with your hand like this, and going like this, holding with your foot.
Right.
And trying to pee right on.
Oh, really, really trying to nail it.
At close range.
To get it right on the spot.
And I know it hasn't worked that well for you with the athlete's foot, but you're a much better dancer now. You're much more deft out on the, you're not daft, you're deft out on the dance floor.
And then what did I hear over the weekend? That somebody said, I don't know why the topic came up over the weekend, but somebody said that they actually put it on their face.
On their face!
For zits.
Hadn't heard of that.
So you put number one on your face for zits.
I saw, it might have been a preview of the coming attractions, or it was a brief house, that show House. That's on,
House, right? H-A-U-S. House.
I think it's House. You know, there's so many damn medical shows on right now. But he diagnosed this guy with an athlete's foot in his nose.
Yeah,
and he's got athlete's foot in his nose. Because he was trimming his nose hairs with his toenail clipper.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times I've had a similar thought, not with my nose, but I will be sitting there scratching my athlete's foot.
Right.
I want to be honest, not always nail on skin.
Yeah.
A lot of times there's a sock in between.
Okay. Right. Just rubbing.
Yeah, but a lot of times, you know, the rubbing just doesn't do enough, bud.
I know.
You really got to go.
You got to take the sock off.
I can't tell you how many times I have really dug to the point where it's like you have shavings almost on the floor.
Right.
Because the humidity level is so, the house is so dry.
Right.
Because it's so cold outside, and it's just like flakes of skin that I've peeled off my foot. And then I'll notice myself like going, oh, what a day. Oh, like, run my hands through my hair.
Do you ever go to the eyes? Because that could be troublesome. Yeah, it's a fungus.
No, I don't, and you know why.
Yes, that's right.
You know why?
Wow, that's years ago.
We do not speak of that,
still,
do we?
No, we still honor that one.
That's why you're my best buddy. My best buddy as well. You're my brother.
I know. Well, that's, my God, it goes two ways. You know what I mean?
There are things about...
We have these little packs. And you know, the thing is, we know that. You know that about me. I know that about you. How come nobody else trusts us? Because really, if you looked at our track record, if somebody ever comes to us and they said, look, really, please don't. Even if we're going to like make a reference to it, we'll handle it with discretion.
Because I think people generally think that the only people that you and I will not screw over is each other.
Right. But we've done that, I mean, at time and time. I think about that often, that we really haven't done that to anybody. But getting back to the whole problem, I think that if you dig into your foot, and I think... The show House showed me that it can go anywhere.
That's right.
I mean, this guy had it on toenail clippers, and he had athlete's foot in his nose.
Mm-hmm. There was someone in my family when they were very small.
Told me the story off the air.
I had never, and I'm not going to say any names. I swear to God this is true. And it happened when this person was a small tyke.
Uh-huh.
And the way it was explained to me, because I remember hearing strep anus, I never heard of that. They said, well, it was... And to mouth.
Right. What kids do.
Right.
Yeah.
Kids aren't thinking about where those hands are going to be.
Poking and probing.
But I never, ever have ever had a little one, including my own, you know, crawl on my lap and get hands around my face at all when I don't think of that.
Oh, and about strep throat, I almost used your line on my daughter today.
Which one?
What's the greatest thing? That you never said to Carrie, or you did say to her that one time, or
no, it was what I didn't say to her mother.
Yes,
are you stupid like your daughter?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I kept it to myself.
Good for you, Rob.
I almost said, and I love my daughter so much. I almost said to her today, "Are you stupid like your mother?" Because here's the deal with this sweet girl. She lives in Minnesota, where every day it's 40 below 0.
Yes, very, very tough.
In the last month, she has had strep throat 5 times.
Oh, my God.
She has had walking pneumonia. She just got over walking pneumonia, and I talked to her over the weekend, and she's like,
Hey, Daddy, help.
I'm like, what is wrong now?
The strep throat is back. I'm going back to the doctor.
So she went back to the doctor. She called me up. I said, what did the doctor say? The doctor said, got to take your tonsils out.
Yes. Right?
I said, great. Sounds like a good idea.
I don't have time for it.
And I almost said to her, I didn't.
You know what you can share with her, even
didn't
though
say a thing, Mike.
This is an old reference. You can share with her that my paternal grandmother, back in the day when they didn't have antibiotics, went to the happy hunting ground because of strep.
Yeah.
Back in those days, it was serious, serious stuff. I mean, in this age of antibiotics, you know, take two of these and you'll be fine. Tell her to go get that help.
Yeah. Trust me, like I haven't tried. I mean, I
think you got through today, probably.
I played about every card that I possibly could her today. I had the whole thing. Like, what if it was one of your kids?
Mm-hmm.
Would you let them do that?
Absolutely.
But what about me? I'm the dad. What am I supposed to say? If I was doing that, would you tell me to get off my ass and go have my tonsils out?
I remember, does anybody remember from at least when I was a kid, getting your tonsils out was a big, huge medical thing. A lot of fun. Yeah. I mean, I remember the whole, they have books about it and TV about it and all that.
Rob never stops joking.
Right.
Thank you, Jackie. He just wrote me a joke. Cold season. Maybe we could play strep trivia. You don't say, there's no off switch there, is there?
No, call me tonight, I'll tell you another
going show. Going all the time.
There is no off
strep
switch.
Trivia.
9 p.m. tonight, call me and I'll have a riddle.
Okay, I'll totally embarrass her right now.
Okay.
Hold on, what's the phone number?
You know, an infection like that, if she has tonsillitis, for example, could be very, very serious.
Yeah, you don't want to mess around with. You're going to have to get that treated eventually.
They seldom take tonsils out anymore.
I know, they don't. They really don't.
No, they'll do adenoids now, but they won't do tonsils.
They actually took my tonsils out when I was like 5 years old, including most of my spine, too.
Hey, listen to that. Hey, sweetie. Yeah. Hey, you're on the radio. How you feeling, honey?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
Oh, she sounds better.
Oh, she does. She does sound better. Without violating any type of family secret or anything, everybody thinks you should get your tonsils out.
That would be right now, though. I don't want to have, because you know how it goes with me and surgery. I end up in the hospital for like 3 months. So
I know, but well, for goodness sakes. I know, sweetie. This is
you're melting now. I understand that,
this
too.
This is the predicament.
It is serious.
Why don't you guys tell her what you were just saying?
Just a strep is nothing you want to mess around with.
And maybe you don't need surgery, but get it treated because it could be very, very, very serious.
Rob, all the ice cream you want.
That's what they, you know, when I had, Amy, when I had my tonsils out, they actually told me all the ice cream you want. It was actually a lot of fun.
Yep. And like I say to my daughter all the time, is it any wonder that she's really not getting well? Can you hear that going on in the background?
Yeah.
That circus in the background?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Those are the grandkids.
Chasing kids around with a bad throat is not fun.
They never stop.
Hey, Amy, do you know what the temperature is up there right now?
Oh, I think we're sitting at like -10 right now.
Oh, my God.
How can a virus or bacteria even live in that?
I don't know.
Go outside for a while.
Yes, you have to live in an igloo. That'll help you now.
All right, sweetie. Well, I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
For what it's worth, everybody on the show, all of the experts here on the show, that you should get your tonsils out.
I'll come be my babysitters and I'll go get them taken out.
I actually, I lost my paternal grandmother through strep because she didn't treat it. Now, it was 150 years ago, but it's still what killed
it.
It
can happen.
So, yeah. Be careful.
Which one of God's most beautiful grandchildren is screaming in the background right now?
Ethan is running around, but Carly is demanding attention right now.
I'm not.
Oh, you're not? All right. Sorry, she's not.
You've got your hands full.
Now, listen, I'm not saying this because she's, from my loin, but isn't Carly really the smartest 2-year-old in the world?
She really is.
She is. That's pretty verbal right there. I'm not.
Oh, yeah, she's good. She's good on the telephone with conversations.
Wow.
It's like, hey,
will
you
tell Grandpa hi?
No. Hi, Gary.
Hey, hi. Oh, you almost called me Grammy. Hi, honey. How you doing, sweetie?
I'm not Grammy.
I know you're not. Did you call me Grammy?
I'm Carly.
I know you're Carly. Did you call me Grammy? Can you say hi to everybody on the radio?
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, darling.
You're a sweet girl.
Bye.
You tell
Bye.
Tell mommy get her tonsils out. Oh, missed that, didn't we?
Yeah.
All right, I'll call you later.
Sounds good. Right,
bye.
Bye, well.
Wow.
She sounded like she had her hands full there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she also isn't getting her tonsils out anytime soon.
Nope.
No.
You heard that.
Yeah, you can only do so much.
Not unless you want to watch the kids. Okay, well, that lets me off.
Did you offer to do the procedure?
You know, you're qualified. Of course, you know, you do it in that own special way.
You still have those tools, right?
Those tools in that one old case from 1867.
I remember when I had my tonsils out when I was
I remember
kid.
It, too. It was fun.
As well, yeah. I liked it a lot.
It was a big deal. There was a period of time, you know, who knows whether the medical advice was sound, but we were all being taken, you know, five-year-olds and six-year-olds taken into hospitals willy-nilly, getting their tonsils chopped
wow.
out.
For all we know, we were having some chip put in our brains that would make us vote for Bush 30 years later. Seriously, but back in the day, it was just, hey, it's a trip to the hospital. You're going to have as much Jello and as much ice cream as you like, and you are going to love it.
That was the main selling point, as much ice cream and Jello as you want.
I right. have mine.
You have your tonsils?
I have mine.
Right?
Yes.
All right.
No appendix, though.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. And you don't have a belly button either, right?
Right.
Hello. I don't have a soul. How about you, Mike? What don't you have? Oh, that's right, a heart.
I don't have willpower.
No, you have a heart. You have a heart as big as all outdoors.
I have a heart. Actually, though, I took a look again at my results from the physical.
Yeah?
I don't have a liver.
Hello? Yes.
No wonder. It's a raisin.
Don and Mike Show.
That's unfortunate.
Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, hi.
Love you guys.
Oh, love you more.
Ooh. Hey,
how old are you?
Me? I'm 30.
Wow.
30.
How tall are you?
I'm actually 5 feet tall. Ah.
5 feet tall.
Oh, I remember a call like this one time. How you doing?
Oh, boy.
No more calls, please. We have a winner.
Thank you. The Orioles, thank you.
Congratulations, Mike.
What'd you win, Mike?
You won a DVD grab bag.
Oh, goody.
Including the second season of Boston Legal.
Ah, wonderful.
I always like rewarding when someone says something truly funny on the show. Congratulations.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that.
What was your name again there, Mike?
Mike O'Mara.
And you're from where?
Raisintown, where they build livers.
And what's your favorite radio show?
I love the Don and Mike Show. I listen to it every day. I feel like I'm there.
And I'm sorry, Laura, what was that? I mean, Kristen?
Yeah, I'm Kristen? Laughing. You guys cracked me up. Hey, just wanted to tell you, I don't know if you've ever tried this, but a good cure for athlete's foot is tea tree oil.
Is what?
Have you ever heard of tea tree oil?
Yes, is that like patchouli oil, the stuff the hippies wear?
No, it's like
we were just
a natural.
Okay, Archie Bunker.
See this?
Stuff the hippies.
Patchouli oil.
No, tea tree oil. We were just talking about
stuff.
Yesterday.
You know, you're too... Hold on. Give him another DVD.
Wow. Another grab bag.
You are... Mike, all the King's Men on DVD for
I
you.
I get another grab bag.
You
I'm very happy.
For two of this
Thank
break.
You. All right, you hippie. Tea tree oil. Tea tree oil.
Oh, huh? It's like a...
Isn't that what happens when you, like, lift up your breast?
No.
It'll make you grow.
No
breasts.
DVD on that one, Mike.
I'm sorry.
A swing and a miss.
I was trying to go for the fence.
Swing and a miss.
Terribly
on the tea tree joke.
Sorry, buddy.
Was going where they hide the cat food.
I'm sorry, Mike. That's another strike.
Another miss.
Another strike because...
She's not helping me at all either.
I don't know if she understood the reference to Brett Butler being able to put a can of cat food under one of her breasts.
Doesn't get any more obscure than Brett Butler. It really does.
Come on. Hey, bada, 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 swing. Bada. We want a pitcher, not a belly itcher.
So anything else, ma'am?
Well, no, I thought he may give that a whirl. It works. It's a natural fungicide.
Where do you get it?
Like health food stores.
Health food stores. It'll give you breasts.
Okay.
What's that? Hey, I think I'm the only listener on Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
Wow.
I listen to you guys out of WZAN in Portland, Maine.
Oh, Portland, Maine. Well, I think you're the only listener that's giving me a pretty brutal flashback right now.
Thank you for the call.
Love you guys.
Love you. Oh, love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There she goes. There she goes. Bye-bye.
And she found the cradle.
There she is. Calling, she's calling from Prenup, Vermont. That's where she was calling from.
It's a lovely place.
Okay, well, we'll call these DJs tomorrow on the show. Who is, before we get to Buzz's news, who's, we got a vagine shot today.
Oh, that's Mrs. Cruz.
Oh, it's Katie Holmes.
Yeah, and she is wearing control top underwear.
Katie Holmes coming out of a limo.
Where is that, from the Super Bowl, do we know?
Yeah, well, she and Tom watched it with what's-his-name.
Oh, Christ, I read that in the paper, right, that they were at the game with Dan Snyder from the Redskins. He brought them to the Super Bowl.
Boo.
They're partners.
We got a picture of Katie Holmes coming out of the limo.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, look at that.
It's not quite the Denise Richards picture that we had yesterday.
More
for
of
you.
A panty shot. Than
but it's not bad. We'll put it up on our website, DonnaMikeWebsite.com.
Says to me she has ass issues, not like mine. Size.
Well,
because she's not wearing hose.
Yeah.
She's just wearing control top something.
Yeah, she is. It's actually, it looks like, I would say it was a panty, but it's like halfway down her thigh.
Mm-hmm. Sucks it in.
It's an erotic photo, I think.
It is an erotic photo.
It is.
With all that, it's still strangely alluring.
Yeah.
Mm. But she's bad. She got a bad face.
Katie Holmes?
Yeah.
She's cute.
No.
I'd do her.
No.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't.
You would not do Katie Holmes?
No. Don't care for her. She got, you know what she has?
What about her brother, Rupert?
Oh, him I like.
How about their cousin, Larry?
Larry Holmes?
Mm-hmm.
It's a blood relative?
Say it the right way.
Lay Holmes.
Him I do all day.
Yeah, baby. Well, Buzz?
Yes?
Do you like pina coladas?
I do.
I'm still trying to keep the Rupert Holmes thing going.
Rupert Holmes.
Stand by. We'll be right back with the News Hour.
This is the Don and Mike Show. And Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show. Like a life-altering herpetic sore.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
We want to thank James Morrison, who's at Bill Buchanan on 24.
He was a very unique guy.
Like him.
Morris, it's Bill Buchanan. Morris, it's Bill Buchanan. We're on the line with Jack Bauer. Where are you?
There you go. Anyway, he's a good guy. I want to come back on the show.
Good.
We'll get him on in a couple of weeks. Also, our thanks to Probst.
Jeff Probst.
Probst on the zoo. And, boy, I was just saying, we got a lot of good guests from TV, but I know why now. It's because they're in sweeps.
Right. They are in sweeps, and you can always tell people that were really untouchable for a while are coming, becoming more available now.
They're all looking to whore it out, so we'll whore it out with someone else tomorrow. Who's the most famous gay guy from the Queer Show?
The blonde guy.
I'd say Carson, probably.
Is that who it is tomorrow? He's the only one that I want to talk to.
I know you do.
And the only one I know Mike wants to talk to.
Carson, Cressley. Carson Cressley.
Right. He's talking about having a love affair with your clothes. Maybe not your clothes, but one's clothes.
I think we need that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have a love affair with some of your clothes, your Packers stuff.
He likes the Packers, too.
Uh-huh. You know what? You're getting very close to mixing homosexuality in the Green Bay Packers.
And football.
Let's move on, shall we?
Thank God absolutely. We didn't do that yesterday with Vince Lombardi.
That was kidding.
That was.
That's right. This is serious.
That's right.
This is serious
business.
Serious business. Hi there, Bob.
Hi, Don and Mike. NASA is going to have to deal with the whole sex in space issue, if for no other reason than this story right here.
Sex in space.
A married lady astronaut was apparently sleeping with a male astronaut who was sleeping with another female astronaut, and things got ugly.
You know, she is from the D.C. area.
She's from Rockville.
Right. I saw her picture on TV.
Mm-hmm.
If she doesn't look like eight different kinds of creepy, and I'm not talking about the footage where they had her at the school talking to the kids about NASA.
Right.
I'm talking about her mugshot.
Very, very strange. Well, when you hear the ordeal that she's been through, if you haven't already, you'll see why she looks the way she does in that mugshot.
Go ahead, Buzz.
All right. The space stud in question here is 41-year-old shuttle pilot Bill Ofelein. The 41-year-old woman astronaut who admits she was doing Bill is Lisa Marie Nowak, a mission specialist on the Discovery space shuttle last
summer. Hello, my name is Lisa Marie.
There's the problem right there, yeah. Lisa Marie.
You're right.
Lisa was not happy when she learned Bill was also doing NASA engineer Colleen Shipman, stationed at Cape Canaveral. Being an astronaut, Lisa knew what to do. She stocked up on adult diapers to make a nonstop 950-mile drive from Houston to Orlando.
Well, I'm sure she's trained in endurance.
Sure. Lisa, then wearing a wig and a trench coat.
Go change your diaper, baby.
Caught up with Colleen in an airport parking lot and sprayed her with pepper spray. Police say they also found a knife, a BB gun, a mallet, a plastic bag, and some rubber tubing in Lisa's car.
Wow.
Right. They say Lisa told them she planned to use those items to get Colleen to talk.
I have said for years, going into space makes you crazy.
This female astronaut is now facing attempted murder charges. A warrant's been issued, by the way. A warrant's been issued for actor Daniel Baldwin's arrest after he failed to make a date with the law today.
Isn't he the one that called this show?
Hold on, that's a Baldwin.
Daniel Baldwin, yes.
Is he our Baldwin?
I think he's the Baldwin that called.
Yes, he's
according
still alive. He's not the
no,
Baldwin.
No, who's the one that listens?
Daniel Baldwin is the one that called us.
Is he the one in trouble?
I guess he is. Daniel's in trouble.
God
I'm sorry.
Damn you, Danny.
According to TMZ.
Man, he was just like a brother to
Danny?
Him. TMZ.com says the 46-year-old was due at Orange County Superior Court to face charges regarding a stolen car.
Sit down, Danny.
He's the brother of fellow actors Alec, Stephen, and William Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin.
Just our luck.
Sit down, Danny.
Just our luck.
The one we know.
The one Baldwin we know is the supreme F-up out of all of them.
We finally get a Baldwin. I always thought it'd be the guy that makes the big, you know, lip face. You know, he makes his lips bigger. Is that Billy Baldwin?
Yeah,
the one that pushes his lips out and goes on the reality shows?
Yeah, he was the fireman, too.
Yeah.
And that was a Baldwin that called us, right?
Right. Yeah.
He called us.
Daniel called us, I believe, from the San Francisco area.
Sit down, Danny.
Sit down, Danny.
Sit down, Danny.
Daniel, my brother.
And then here's O.J. Simpson. He tells the Florida newspaper that he told the would-be publisher of If I Did It.
Oh, Danny boy.
Quote, I hope this book never comes out.
The tides.
Simpson.
The what?
The pipes
are
calling.
Oh, it's not the tides. The tides are...
No, the pipes are the pipes.
From glen to glen and down the mountainside.
Right.
Okay.
You know there's something else, something in the meadow. tis you, who's gone, and I must
find.
Yes.
For I'll be back.
No, all right.
You're Irish. You should know
that. I should know that, but it's Danny Boy. It's a cliche. It's a stereotype.
Exactly.
Sit down, Danny.
It's like the cartoons Rob watches with his kids.
Simpson.
Where did that come from?
From Charlie Chan, the cartoon,
what
Rob.
What are you talking about? Dimple's visit here was not to see you, but to rob the safe. It's Fingers McCann, the notorious bank robber.
You've got nothing on me, Chan.
How'd you know, Bob?
The police told us that the bank robberies happened in Stockton, Sacramento, and Bakersfield.
Here's my message today. Poisoning your children does not always involve feeding them Twinkies.
Why, you'll be a jackass.
Good luck outwitting Chan, though. He's amazing.
Chan.
You just can't...
Did it read too much like a confession to suit him. Besides, he says it was all the work of a ghostwriter anyway. But O.J. says he doesn't care how the public feels. Quoting him, I got paid just the same.
Yeah, there he goes.
And where is the story? And everybody's following up on this. If he did get paid all the same, where is the money going back to Fred Goldman?
You know, I would not blame Fred Goldman if he was to take matters into his own hands. Yeah. If anybody deserves that, I don't understand that either. I mean, with the wrongful death victory that they had,
right?
I just don't understand why they can't find the money that this guy.
The bottom line is, he's guilty, was guilty, still is guilty, and will always be guilty of murder.
There he is, Freddie. That's Fred Goldman. Now, if O.J. really did get money, first off, as we all know, O.J. is just as dumb as a box of rocks. You shouldn't be walking around saying, I got paid. Because wasn't the story that he really didn't get any of the money?
That it wasn't going to be published, but I don't think anybody ever discussed whether or not he got paid. He says he did.
I thought there were reports that he got either $500,000 or $1 million, and then he came out and said, no, he didn't get it. And then I saw Fred Goldman on TV saying, if he got millions of dollars, that's got to come to me first.
And all Fred Goldman can do now is to just keep going to those trade shows as a Raleigh
Fingers look alike.
So he's got that going for him.
If you went to work today,
I was almost going to say that the exact goddamn same time.
I think we cannot bring up Fred Goldman without the Raleigh Fingers.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If you went to work today in a bad mood or left in a bad mood, you've probably made your boss very happy and wealthier. A new study from Rice University in Houston says people who go to work in foul moods are better workers. The study says...
Don't you remember, Michael?
The study says a bad mood makes you a more creative problem solver, more motivated, and more detail-oriented than the workers whose ignorance is bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Happy workers...
Shut up.
Happy workers, says a management researcher, tend to think that things are going well and that there are no problems to solve.
That's funny. It is funny. From Rob's book, from Rob's new best-selling book, he should have said this 5 minutes ago.
Right.
Charlie Chan went to Rice University.
God. Happy workers.
There he is.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, you were late with that note.
Well, he's the one. I had to wait till he said right.
And speaking of chance,
this is a possible one to talk of, everybody. I saw this girl filming it out there in Albuquerque. We were kicked off the air. Was glad to be back. Hey, everybody, it's Jackie Chan. Unforgettable. I was pretty close.
As close as anyone can get.
That's a hard one to talk about.
Ridiculously difficult recharge.
Jackie Chan.
And forevermore.
Now, because he played that song, I'll be leaving in a bad mood tonight.
Now, happy workers, according to this study, tend to only work hard during a crisis. The pessimistic worker sees problems ahead of time and therefore has time to come up with a better solution.
Congratulations, Joe. Always a class act.
The study says a bad mood also makes you more focused and less likely to make mistakes you'll have to correct later.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard a lot lately about distracted driving, the things people do when they should be watching their driving. Today we have some new and interesting numbers about that.
Okay.
A study by the Mayo Clinic shows that the worst distraction is reaching for a moving object inside the car. That act alone increases your risk of a crash by 800%. Staring at something or someone outside the car increases your risk by 370%.
I'm always doing that.
The cell phone you've heard so much about, 280% if you're dialing, 150% if you're just talking. The same as eating or reaching for a non-moving object, 150% greater risk. Driving while distracted is the cause of one out of four crashes in this country.
What about painting?
Painting, very bad. Yeah. I'm guessing that's the...
I'm working on stopping that.
1,000%.
It's a bad habit.
What if you paint like I do? You know, Pollock style.
Well, you know what?
You know what I'm talking about. And I'm using the instrument God gave me.
Then you go back to the front, where it's reaching for a moving object.
You were watching the Super Bowl the other night with over 43 million of your closest friends. That's for the whole game. 140 million watched parts of it. The Nielsen ratings put the Super Bowl 41 as the most second-watched Super Bowl ever. Super Bowl.
Hello,
30.
Hello, friends. I'm Jim Nance.
There he is. Super Bowl 30 had over 40 million viewers. That was in 96, the Cowboys and Steelers.
That was the third highest-rated TV show ever.
Right.
Amazing. There was a Super Bowl in front of it and the finale of MASH.
You would think, really, with the team locations being where they are. Well, Chicago, but... Normally, wouldn't you think you'd have to get one of the two top markets, either L.A. or New York, to get
I
that?
I think it was the Peyton factor.
I believe you're right.
Where's my Peyton Manning tape? Oh, well.
Young lovers in front porch.
Hey, you've got his music. That's all that matters.
Peyton Manning. What's next, Buzz?
You know that ad you saw for Snickers on the Super Bowl that you liked where the two men end up kissing?
Yeah. Right.
Well, Snickers has removed that ad from its website, and I'll tell you why when we come back.
What you hope is Saturday night, and I put my head on my pillow and feel I've done everything I could to get ready for this game. Now let's go out there and play it.
Peyton Pyle. Did we miss it? Gomer says hey.
No, let's say it again right here.
Gomer says hey. Gomer says hey.
Okay.
So Buzz, that commercial, that Snickers commercial.
Yes, you might not see it again.
Really?
That's a drag.
Really?
And that's kind of your tease, right?
That's my tease. Yeah, I'll explain it all when we come back.
You know what my kid told me?
What?
Not my kid that was on before, the other kid. The other one.
Yes, Mark.
Yeah, the boy kid.
What is it? When you snicker like that and you're snickering about Snickers.
He told me that when he watched it with a bunch of his college friends, that right away they didn't immediately, of course they were like, oh, gay, funny. You know, like,
right, right.
Homo gay, but then someone said it looked like something else.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's why they pulled it.
That's not why they pulled it, is it, Buzz?
I'll tell you when we come back.
Oh, you are a tease. You are an absolute tease. All right, Francis. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
The mayors of Boner City, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right.
What is this?
Every single play you play on offense is a physical attack, certainly, but it's also an attack in style.
You know, that is John Gruden going off.
Tough guy.
Let's listen to that on another show. And now let's go right to Peyton Elston. Hi, Peyton.
Hi, Peyton. Hey, Mike. As Snickers has pulled its Super Bowl ad off the website after objections from gay rights advocates, the ad that has a Snickers bar leading a guy and his mechanic to man kiss is one of four ads that seem to suggest that Snickers makes guys do something gay, forcing them to
sure feels good not to be the gayest guy in the room for once.
Makes them do something gay, forcing them to do something manly to counteract that.
What, Buzz?
I said the suggestion that Snickers makes guys do something.
He's a fag.
Forcing them to do something manly to counteract that. The ad that ran on the Super Bowl had them ripping out their own chest hair, for example. Now, Snickers put that ad on a website along with videos of Bears and Colts players reacting to the man kiss with disgust. One player makes a face, another says, "That ain't right."
This is going to all feed into commercials getting safer and safer.
Yeah.
Because they're wimping out completely on it. And it was the only one that was, I didn't think it was even controversial.
Now, in another ad, maybe it's as a group, in another ad to do something manly, the men drink motor oil, leaving them screaming and sick at their stomachs. And in another Snickers ad, one of the men attacks the other with a wrench, but at least they're not gay. Of course, gays still have plenty to be happy about.
Now, what if you were like my son's friends at school, really, who thought that it was,
so far, I've only heard that from you and your son. I haven't heard that from anyone else. Of course, gays still have plenty to be happy about. George Michael and Andrew Ridgely are reuniting as Wham.
Oh!
They'll have a new album this summer and possibly...
Why am I the only one applauding?
A U.S. concert tour. First Van Halen and the Police, now Wham, it's the 80s all over again.
You are the only one applauding that.
Oh, Wham.
And you know why?
You're why?
Because like, you didn't see the Snickers bar the way that the boys at the school did.
George Michael.
I didn't understand the humor.
And speaking of music, the Beatles' Apple Corps and Apple Computers have finally worked out their legal differences over who owns the Apple logo, which means Beatles music should start appearing on iTunes for the very first time very soon.
That's good, because Paul needs the dough.
He sure does.
The Beatles.
They're probably having a real hard time finding House and Senate pages these days, what with the recent Mark Foley scandal. I mean, what kid in his right mind would throw themselves into harm's way like that? What parent would let their kid? As it turns out, quite a few. There has, in fact, been an upswing in the number of high school juniors expressing interest in the page.
Of course there has, because it's publicity.
Right. You know, for the experience.
Turn the page.
Quoting the head of the Senate Page Program, it's possible the publicity's turned out to be good for the Page Program. You would also think that sex and booze are the things that worry parents most about their kids.
No, you know what worries me?
What?
The fact that my son's about the only one that saw that as a season number two.
I hadn't heard it anywhere else. I'm sorry.
The dad, I was watching with my friends. Didn't it look like they had the number two? Now that you said it's on, yes, you're right.
Well, they were at a Super Bowl party, and maybe they were just getting a little festive.
Sure.
Would people have objected to that?
Probably. Well, I'm sure they would, yes.
I would have encouraged
it. Would you have the same reaction from Colts and Bears players looking at that on a Snickers screen going, ooh, that's not right.
I think they probably would have looked at it in a more curious way. Are they really doing that? Yeah, but then again, you get back to the whole Bill Murray thing in Caddyshack. Yeah. Big comedy moment when he's in the hazmat suit. Right.
And then you take it to real life and you bring Raymond Burr into it.
And he made it an art form. That's the ray, fresh from my oven.
You would also think that sex and booze are the things that worry parents most about their kids, but that's wrong. Parents are far more worried about what their kids see on the internet and TV than they are about their kids actually drinking and humping. In other words, the media, of which the internet is now a part, scarier to parents than the real world outside. A new study says parents believe it's mostly on them to control what their kids see, not so much the job of the companies that make up the media. The research was commissioned by a San Francisco group called Common Sense Media. They're meeting with TV, cable, and music executives this week in New York.
How do your cats feel about that, Buzz?
I haven't asked them.
Do you talk to your cats about drugs?
I don't. There's really no need to.
You talk to your cats about surfing the net when you're not around?
I can't control what they do when I'm gone.
Do they chase them out?
But I'd rather they got their catnip at home than somewhere else.
What did your cats think of the Snickers commercial? Were they offended by it?
I think they missed it on it, actually. But parents have their own dark little secrets.
Are we driving you crazy today?
No, not really.
No, we are.
No.
If you say not really, that's like if someone says, hey, that's funny. Whenever someone says, hey, that's funny, that means that's not funny.
I stand by that sometimes, but not all the time. I think sometimes I've said that's funny when I thought something was
but
funny.
But the majority of times.
Well, if you do a real, like, oh, that's funny. It's not funny at all.
Are we bothering you in some way today?
No, not at all.
Now, if you said absolutely, we'd go away. Are we bothering you at all?
Completely. You're driving me insane.
There we go.
Parents have their own secrets. Truth
night,
is.
Buzz.
Good night. Where's the gun? Oh, this is the thanks I got for being honest. Truth is, they usually hate the parents of the kids' friends, but pretend that they like them. A new survey by Parenting Magazine shows that 3/4 of the mommies say they don't like other mommies. And listen up, crickets, 11% say they put up with those horrible people for the sake of their children. Nearly half the mommies say they're feeling, they feel they're being judged whenever their kid acts up. But 3/4 of the mommies say that when they see someone else's kid act up, they just feel sorry for the parent. Now, the government agency we trust the most, the post office, not exactly a compliment since the IRS came in third. The Federal Trade Commission was second in this national study. Look at the bottom of the list. Oh, something seems to be on fire. Toward the bottom of the list are the Bureau of Prisons, Immigration, and the Department of Justice, and the TSA. The least trusted government agency of 2006, the Department of Homeland Security. By the way, the Justice Department says it will now collect and store DNA samples from everyone the government detains.
Sure, you can pull off this charade right now.
Uh-huh.
And you'll get in your car and you'll think, well, I shut down.
Uh-huh.
You know, they wanted to talk and they wanted to play their tapes. They wanted to have fun while I read the news.
Uh-huh.
Well, I shut them and I got them to turn the microphones off. But what if we actually went all the way with it and got in our cars and drove home?
Oh,
what would you do then, huh?
I'd cry crocodile tears.
You'd be standing here naked.
Yeah.
There before you. What is that?
Oh, this is just more, it's our swamp ambiance sound for the next time that we just turn the mics off.
Swamp ambiance.
Leave Buzz on his own.
Please don't go away. I like having you around. I only said you were bothering me because you encouraged me to say that. Sure is scary here in the swamp. I wonder where Don and Mike are. If you're looking at changing planes...
Aren't you glad we have so much more time now for the news?
I am. It gives us, it gives everybody elbow room. So it all works out.
Absolutely.
If you're looking at changing planes... It's almost Christmas.
If you're looking at changing planes in the middle of the country, you might want to rethink airlines that hub in Denver. That airport has just had its second close call in a month, both times on the runway. Friday, during its landing, a United 737 slammed to a stop just 200 feet shy of a snowplow. The pilot had to use the reverse thrusters to avoid plowing into the plow.
I need some heat. I've got food.
Good pilot. Nobody got hurt. On January 5th, a Frontier jet, following instructions from the tower, came within 50 feet of a cargo plane.
We flew Frontier one time.
Did you? How'd that go?
We did.
We flew backwards.
Bad idea.
Oh, that's right. The seats were backwards.
Remember that?
I remember that. I do.
Yeah.
Unnerving, isn't it?
Well, I was drunk.
And things are much... Things are much quieter at the St. Louis airport. That's where I would want to change planes. On Sunday, a 26-year-old Eric Dubois, a trucker from Illinois, was driving through Albuquerque.
Excuse me, did I miss something there?
No, I don't think so.
Are you going to ask him about why he would change planes in St. Louis?
Yeah.
We're weird that way. We'll sit there and we'll be fooling around, and then you'll say something and we both get curious. I wasn't going to say anything.
Did I miss it because we were busy, like, screaming around playing sound?
Yeah, I think people who heard, you know, what I was saying.
How could that be? We didn't.
Understood.
We turned the microphones off for 5 minutes.
Well, that doesn't mean you were listening.
Why would you want to change planes in St. Louis?
Because Denver scares me now. What with the two near misses on the runway?
So you mentioned St. Louis just at random?
Yeah, at random. Oh, okay. You could do Atlanta or Detroit or Chicago.
Okay.
It really wasn't meant to be funny. It was actually true advice.
St. Louis?
Yeah.
Nah.
No, it's less busy. It's
that
in the middle of the country.
Girls, you make the rockin' world go round.
And they have the fat bottom girls. Finally, another device has thrown yet another city into a panic.
So you said St. Louis. You might as well have just said Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Well, they don't have a hub airport in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
But St. Louis was just a generic hub.
Yeah, like Denver,
so
Chicago,
Dallas. We didn't miss nothing, Mike.
No.
No, we didn't.
We did not, which means we were kind of paying attention.
We were 100% paying attention.
Okay.
Come on, we were.
Well, we were. I was listening to him and then listening for what was going to be coming out of that machine next. turned out to be a bong. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
We're
out of time now.
Okay. I mean, you can give us a story in 20 seconds.
In Reading, Pennsylvania, they found a device in a parking lot. They locked it away in a bomb-proof box. They're going to have it tested. It's like a medicine bottle with clear liquid inside. Turns out it's a bong.
It's a bong?
It's a bong.
A bong?
It's a bong scare.
It's a bong. Okay.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Just when we're starting to have some fun. Goodbye to you, and goodbye to you.
We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode.
You gotta get out of here. See you. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you,
good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
I'll see you in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Meet me in St. Louis.
Meet me in St. Louis,
Ed.
Wayne Newton took those pictures home and signed them.
You're very generous.
Stop it.
This is the Don and Mike Show.